Hello and welcome to the Adeptus Terra podcast, show 7, back with a vengeance. I'm Matt.
And I'm Sam.
And here we are for another month. We're really excited about this show. We've got stuff to actually talk about.
Which is probably quite a first for me. I've bought stuff as well.
Yeah, well, that does happen.
Yeah, not as much as you, though.
No, well,
I bought stuff from eBay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, eBay.
Wow, yeah. Proud Padawan.
I need to get to, what, 7 things 1 month yet?
Yeah. I haven't bought anything off eBay this month.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are. Sorry, flipping neck. Anyway, we got a jam pack, blah, 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 blah.
Cool, so we have a jam-packed?
Yeah, that's the words I wanted.
Jam-packed sandwich.
Yeah, we got a jam-packed episode for you guys. Lots to talk about, lots of stuff we've been up to, which is nice. Really cool content, I hope, in the spotlight. And something that we all know and love, the online community.
Awesome.
In our last segment of the show. So buckle up, sit back, all those sayings.
So if they're buckling up and sitting back.
Falling asleep at the wheel,
listening to my dulcet tones.
Yeah.
We did get a comment, actually, about how
Really?
Yeah, how amazing my voice sounds.
Oh, really?
Like a young Barry White.
Awesome. On that note, I think we'll go into our first segment. So anyway, our first segment, news from Terra, what we've been up to. Sam, why don't you start us off with your long list of purchases?
Well, this month I have bought 5 Grey Knight Terminators. That was part of our Mine and Matt's Grey Knight versus Tyranid Escalation Challenge.
Orcs.
Sorry, I apologize.
Orcs.
You have too many armies.
3.
Too many. So we're doing, obviously, the escalation. We're now at 1,500 points.
Yeah, finally.
So I'm really hoping.
I've been ready for like 6 months.
I've got a week off next week after I finish work and start my new job. So Monday, fully getting it painted for our game on Thursday.
15 dudes.
15 guys painted one day.
Cool.
It's going to happen.
All right. I'm going to hold you to happen. That.
What else have I bought? I bought a Baneblade.
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, Baneblade, Stormlord, Stormsword.
So it is, it was £75.
Volcano Bomb.
Yeah.
Mother Trucker.
It was £75 from eBay, and fully painted to quite a good standard.
Yeah, quite a good standard.
Like, it's tabletop, it's not.
Yeah, it can last until you finish everything else.
Yeah, it can last until I finish everything else. So I bought that. It comes with 6 variants. Ones that they're all magnetized, so you can pretty much just pop the weapons off and put new ones on. It's really cool. I'm really looking forward to it. I've used it in 2 games now.
Yeah, we'll get to that game.
We'll get to the games. So I used it in the game. It was really cool to play with. And I really liked it. What else have I bought? Nothing.
Sam.
I inherited 10 extra Grey Knights. That's not 10 extra Grenades, 10 extra Terminators and a Land Raider.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
So that was from Simon. We haven't got Simon's nickname.
Just Simon. He's the only one.
Yeah, he's the only one. Simon. The only one Simon.
You should thank him on the chat.
Yeah, cool. So obviously, thank you to Simon. He donated 10 Terminators to me. A mix between Thunderhammer. No, not Thunderhammer. A mix between Chain Fist and Bolt. Oh, man. A mix between Chain Fist and Storm Bolter.
Well done.
And various extra heavy weapons. Although none of them have shoulder pads. So if any listeners want to donate shoulder pads to me,
no.
Feel free
No,
to,
we're not starting that.
To Sam Burge at M.
No.
So I've got those 10 Terminators. Also a Land Raider. The Land Raider needs a lot of TLC. Like the bottom door's broken.
That's right. Just glue it shut.
It's going to glue it shut, yeah, pretty much. There's no sponsons for it. I've got the bits, but I need to basically get a rod and stick it through.
Shouldn't be too bad.
It wouldn't be too difficult. It's relatively straightforward. So what else have I bought this
Your
month?
Your books.
Yes.
Heresy books.
I bought 5 Heresy books. So I was up to Mechanicum in the Heresy. So I bought the next 5. So that's what? Mechanicum.
I can't tell you what they are.
You go and I'll give the list.
All right. Well, Sam will look those up and work out what books he bought. But my purchases aren't too bad. They were quite small until the other day, actually. But I got whisked away to Wayland Games and couldn't help but buy something, really. to my shame.
You can go somewhere and not buy something.
I can't. It's like you got to support your local store.
No. You are right there. Whenever I go to Wayland Games, I make sure like I buy a drink.
Yeah,
or at least
buy something.
Buy something because it means they're going to be there longer. And I know the internet, which we'll get onto later,
yeah,
bashes Weyland quite a lot in terms of their speed and stuff. But in their story in Hockley is really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, walk in, pick it up. It's like any other store.
Yeah, but they have the gaming stations, gaming tables. They have a bar. They're really cool. I really like them.
It's awesome. It's an awesome place to go. And our friend Kate just got a job there. So all her design, well, her discount at least. Woohoo! Discount on 20%. Oh, just think about that for a little while.
You're not getting a discount.
Oh. Anyway, she's got a job designing their stores. So hopefully we'll see new and improved Weyland games. That'll be really cool. Anyway. That was a real big segue. Have you found these books yet?
Yes, I have.
Awesome.
So I bought Mechanicum, Tales of Heresy, Fallen Angels, A Thousand Suns, and Nemesis.
Okay, Nemesis is really good.
So they're all in the order that Black Library intended you to read them in.
No, that's not true.
It is so true.
No, it's
I'm
not.
On their website, and it says at the top of the page, The Horus Heresy, sourced by reading order. Below you'll find all of the Horus Heresy titles. We've arranged them in the suggested reading order, which broadly reflects the timeline. So there is an order. It's not necessarily the order that I read them in.
No, that doesn't... I disagree with that statement.
Of course you would.
No, because Tales of the Heresy...
Okay, cool. So they've got Horus Rising.
Yeah.
The Wolf of Ash and Fire is an ebook.
Yeah.
Promethean Sun.
Yeah.
Feet of Iron.
Okay.
Which is an ebook as well.
Yeah, these are
Then it goes on to False Gods, Galaxy in Flames, Flight of the Einstein, Fulgrim, Reflections Cracked. Never read that one.
No, I didn't know that existed.
It is in the suggested. We were having this discussion earlier on this month about the fact that they release books in order to read. Matt is fully against this and thinks,
well,
it's like watching the Star Wars movies in order of 1, 2, 3,
but
4, 5, 6.
But I can genuinely ruin this for you.
Got them.
In the one book.
Got them.
Prospero Burns.
Okay, hang on. I will follow that in the order. Prospero Burns is after the first Heretic, but before the Age of Darkness.
Yeah, except Prospero Burns happens at the same time as this one, 5, which is mentioned in Fulgrim, book 5.
But it's not a linear...
But it said represent the timeline.
Yeah, but the timeline... But it's not a... Because you can't read 5 books at once, because they all happen at the same time.
I can.
All right, you can read five. But you know what I mean? It's like you read it in the... That's why this is, I suppose, that's the suggested. You read it in the order, which makes sense for the story. So you're reading obviously about Horus and his fall, but at the same time, they've already gone after the Space Wars. Already gone after
a thousand suns.
So you can't read both of those at the same time. So it makes sense to set the story for Horus than it does to send to a standalone
book. Yeah, it does. But yeah, I think it's just the bit where I don't particularly disagree with the order anyway. Like, no. I think it's fine, and I've read them fairly in order.
Yeah.
But it's not to the timeline as it actually happens.
Yeah.
Which, again, there's probably reasons for that, and they're a lot more clever than I am, just for that statement, more clever. It's not a big beef. It's started to sound like I really hate it, but I don't. I really don't.
So we've got the next segment, which is hate serve.
No. It's not in there.
But I'm trying to think what else I've bought.
I know.
No, I haven't done anything. I haven't bought anything.
Train wreck of a first segment, this one.
No, it's not. No, it's good. It's good. So I haven't bought anything else.
Okay, cool. I will actually move on to my list after rambling about Weyland games.
I will make a list next week.
Yes, you should. That's what notes are for.
Go on.
Anyway, so I bought a box of Scions early in this month. That's my second box, so I only need one more, and that's my little allied contingent done.
So I'm assuming that the reason you bought them is because your wife made you go shopping.
No, I actually bought them. I had to drop off a load of youth work forms to the council, so the governing body in our area.
Hang on, that's nowhere near the town.
Basildon.
Yeah, no.
It's opposite Toys R Us.
Are you sure?
Yes, I dropped them off. I know where I went. But yeah, it was literally just, I could see the Warhammer GW store from the window of the youth service building. So I thought, screw it, I'm here, I'm going
to
go over.
So you felt the need to go into the Warhammer store?
Yeah. So I went in there and bought a box of Scions, and I picked up an Uthran Grey paint pot, which I needed. I just ran out, so it was quite helpful. That's actually what I went in for, but I came out with a box of Scions, as you do.
Go in for paint, come out with 25 quid later.
My self-control is pretty bad. We've heard of that because of eBay. Anyway, so it's one of those stories that, you know, what is it? Like your uncle's best friend's daughter's brother. One of those.
Twice removed.
Basically, through my aunt's boyfriend's son.
Okay.
Okay, he's like 20.
Okay.
Does The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Okay, so he's one of them.
He bought enough that got him the ticket for the web-exclusive Space Marine captain.
Makes sense.
So he's had it all the time. It was quite a while ago, you know, a year or so, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he just had it and had it in his drawers. And his dad, who's my aunt's boyfriend, there you go, got that right, went out with my mum and dad. And my dad was talking about what I do. And he said, oh, my son does something similar in Warhammer and blah, blah, blah. And yes, long story short, I ended up with the web exclusive Space Marine captain. So just for free.
I need to find someone like that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I did. I found Simon.
That's true. And Ryan.
And Ryan, yeah.
You can't really argue that.
No, you can't really argue. It was so much money for you.
Yeah.
But, did you see that people have been winning the Space Marine challenge?
Yeah.
So obviously GW did the challenge where they won a Space Marine height worth of Warhammer.
Yeah, it was nuts.
So, yeah, we had those. Some people have seen them and it's ridiculous. Like some guy got 4 Deathstorm boxes.
It's unbelievable, man. It's ridiculous.
Do you know what? Have you created a list if you won?
No.
I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
No, I'm not going to read it to you.
No, because it would be too long. But yeah, it was a ton of stuff. It was really cool to see him do that, actually.
Oh, I did get something else.
Oh, go on.
So obviously Chip, our friend from
you mentioned these last episode.
No. So I mentioned I got the objective markers.
Oh yes.
He also did me like a backboard thing, which would have been in the photos I think I posted.
Yeah.
But he did the backboard, which is awesome, all freehand and completely unique to my army. The Strike Force Gladius is the name of my Baal contingent, and he put it on there. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's really good. That's something else.
Cool. Yeah, that was really cool. Right. Well, so yeah, I got given the web exclusive Space Marine captain. I got Greenskins spray.
Okay.
From it's an army painter spray. It's what I use to base coat my orcs. And as now I'm ready for my 1/5, and you're gonna hopefully be ready very soon, I thought I needed a new can before we move up to 2K.
Have you got your 500x points done?
Written, yeah.
See, I think I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
But it's just doing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, mine's done and ready to go. And I haven't bought any of it yet because we haven't had our game. But I know what I need. So I thought might as well. That's one of the things I got from Wayland Games when we were there. What else did I get? I got an Orcs dice bag from Fantasy Flight Games.
Fanboy.
So, I've got a big, giant Forge World bag that I use to carry all my dice in, the hundreds and hundreds of dice that I have. And it's just getting a bit ridiculous to try and transport that along with armies, codexes, books, rulebook, everything else. And it was there and on the shelf, and like I've already shared, and you already know, my self-control's rubbish. So I thought, it's got one of the orc kind of glyph skulls on it. So I thought, why not? It's fiver, good dice bag for my dice, and it's smaller, easier to transport, and I can just kind of keep my green dice and a scatter in that bag all the time when I'm playing orcs, pick it up and I'm away.
See, I think you subconsciously wanted to cover yourself because you bought your wife a game.
That's true. I did buy my wife Jungle Speed, which is a really fun game.
So it's kind of distract the wife while you put the Warhammer away.
Yeah, it's a really good tip.
It's not a good tip. We're not doing an episode like Independent
Games. No, it does work.
Yes, but it's
but yeah,
wrong.
Anyway, other than that, I picked up a blue wash or shade, as GW now call it. I want to call it Dragonoff Nightshade.
Yes.
Something like that. Basically due to a way I've seen Space Wolves painted that looks really good, so I want to try that out. I'm thinking of repainting my Space Wolves. They're the first army I did. They're not very anywhere near the standard of my Nids or my Orcs. So I'd quite like to kind of re-go over them and start again.
Some would say that you can't really even tell they're painted.
Yeah. So hopefully that blue wash will help. What else? I got a Psycho brush. So that's another army painter product. It's a paint brush with, you know, hardly any hair, hence why it's called a Psycho brush. And it's great for doing eyes and the really, really tiny things. So quite stoked about that and ready to use that. And that's everything I bought.
Fantastic.
So that's all that we've all bought in a very weird, rambly, you, me kind of way.
I think it's more of a conversation having with a listener rather than...
I don't know.
A standard list.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I might actually write a list next time.
It would be really helpful.
Oh, no, it's not this recording, is it? It's the one after.
Yeah.
Damn. I can't wait for Salute.
I know.
It's going to be good.
We've got two episodes. No, one
more.
Oh, yeah, this one and another one.
So we have Salute, which is coming up at the 25th. Yeah. And I get paid on my new job on the 24th.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Jeez. I've already agreed a price with my wife as well, and I'm very happy.
I'm not married yet, so I don't have to agree with this.
Well, yeah.
Well, I do, because otherwise I won't be able to buy a house, and then she'll be angry at me. So I do, but I just won't.
Yeah, well, you just don't need to show it. I go back to the same house right now.
I don't.
Whereas you don't, so you'll be all right.
So it works out perfectly. You mean I always had this Bane Blade?
Yeah. Not another one.
I could have two.
Promise?
I'm promising you.
No, you're not allowed another one.
I think I can get a Titan.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm reading Mechanicus, and they sound so cool. Although I want them to do a Warlord.
Oh, Warlord Titan.
Yeah, Warlord Titan.
It'll be like £1,000.
I know. But...
No.
Technically, if you look at what I get paid more for my new... could do it.
No, you're not doing it. Right, building. Come on. Let's keep trying to get on track.
Right, so building. I built those 5 Grey Knight Terminators.
Awesome, yeah.
I also converted, that sounds like I actually did something.
Ripped
arms off of the Grey Knight 10 10
Purifiers?
Strike Force?
Strike Squad. They're the troops.
Whatever the annoying name is that GW decided to give Grey Knights, the normal troop choices, ripped all their arms off and put
Cheese
halberds.
Monkeys. That's what they're called.
Cheese monkeys, yeah. I put all the halberds on all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than falchions. So it's a bit cheaper. A bit cheaper. which is cool. They work basically just the same, and they don't get the extra attack anyway. So they're a home line objective marker killer.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Extra strength.
On the halberds?
Yes.
Or is it initiative?
One of those. I haven't got my Grey Knight
credits. Yeah, fair enough.
And my memory's like cheese.
Like your Grey Knights?
Like my Grey Knights.
Full of cheese. Is that all you've built? Or?
Building.
Quite good, but...
We ripped apart, one of my buildings.
Oh, yeah.
To rebuild it, which hasn't been done yet, because I left all the bits here.
Imperial Fist Ben took them home for you.
He hasn't given them to me.
Oh, well, he's got them.
I'm going to kill him.
I saw you left them here, and I gave them to him at Geek Cell. Yeah, Tuesday.
I'll get them, because that's what I want to... Next week... Okay, so when I'm moving jobs, I finish work on Monday, which is now Thursday. So I finish work on Monday. I'm going to do all the editing Monday night for this.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is going to be hobby.
Yeah.
Hobby and mountain biking.
We're going to have a game.
We're going to have a game on Thursday. I think we should have a 10,000-point game.
No, we're going to play our Orcs and Grey Knights.
Oh, yes. Okay. But we could have a 10,000-point game.
We could, but we're not going to.
I could bring
while you're head. Off, I've got massive building work going on, and it's the last week, so everything's going to be crazy.
Well, we could have a paint while we play type game, where we paint like a couple of rollers on the wall. We play roll dice. Every dice you roll, you have to paint more.
Every one, you have to paint a wall.
Yeah. No, because that's the big wall in the skate park. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
One brick in the skate park. So yeah, I'm pretty much going to do some loads of hobbying and. Because this month I've started loads but done nothing.
Okay. Yeah. Got completed, I guess.
Yeah. So building wise, just Grey Knights, kit bashing some stuff and ripping apart a building to rebuild it. Other than that, nothing. Nada. Cool.
Well, I built those 5 Scions that I bought, kind of using your strategy of buy and then build it rather than keep it in boxes for ages. Built that squad. I found them a lot easier the second time around. So when I built the first squad a couple episodes ago, I spoke about them, and they're a really pain kit. I mean, you were a bit same, weren't you?
Scions, yeah, absolute rubbish. You need to green stuff the hell out of all the guns.
If you do them properly, they're fine.
But then they're so samey. If you've got a squad of 10...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I've got small squads, and I've got Sergeant, I've got a Voxcaster, I've got a plasma gun. So actually only 2 of them actually are carrying the rifles. So they don't look too samey.
Different County Liam needs those bits that you...
Oh, missed. Yes. Yeah. I've got 2 boxes now.
He's coming up, so...
Yeah. I've got 2 boxes, so he's got a load now.
Loads of bits. Different County Liam. Better be appreciative.
Different County Liam.
Well, he is in a different county, so...
Yeah, all right. There's only one Liam, though.
Okay. Liam, better be appreciative.
Yeah. But, so I built those, and they went together much better. Now I knew the kit. And like I say, because there wasn't a load of them, they didn't look too samey. The plasma gun is always in one pose, which is really annoying. Mm. But I gave him the plasma gun, and then on the other arm, I gave him the medikit one. And my plan is to paint that up and the the background, if anyone asks behind them, is the medic has died and the plasma gun's picked it up.
He's first aid at work trained.
Yeah. So, you know, just to give him a little bit different to the other plasmas in the other squads.
Every time we talk about Scions, I always kind of feel like I want to offer you to sell you mine.
Oh. Are you going to ever finish that armor?
That's the thing. It's finishing stuff.
Yeah, you never do.
I've got, well, it's not that. It's just...
Is that a different force to your Inquisitor force?
Yes.
Yeah, sell me five Scions. They would have been, and then you can put that money towards your Inquisitor force.
No, because that's going to happen at Salute anyway. That's one of the things, because animal ministers are going to be there. So I'm going to buy the other squad. It would have been a year, then I could do it. So basically that force, it's 1,000 points to go at 1750 with my Inquisition force. So,
if you don't do that, then your Inquisition is an ally
750
only.
Points. So yeah. It's not like I need the money to do it. It's just they're just sitting in my room.
Yeah.
So it's just that, and it's just having a look at me, and it's the guiltiness of going, play with us! I'm not going to sell them to you.
We'll talk.
I'm not going to sell them to you. I'm going to keep them. Trade me your Space Wolf army.
No.
You could complete a force.
My Space Wolves are completed.
Wow.
They are.
They're not painted. Or based.
But neither are my Scions, so they wouldn't be complete anyway.
No, my Scions are painted and based.
Oh, well, I'd have to repaint them.
Not rebase them, though. They're good base.
Well, no, because they'd have to be snow.
Yeah, but you could just do it white.
Then I'm rebasing them.
No, you just spray it white.
That's still rebasing. It's painting and all that stuff counts.
Maybe, if you look at it that way.
I do.
It's cool. They're actually my favourite base. Yeah,
well, you're not selling them to me, so shut up. Right. Man, this is hard. It's not normally this hard.
It's because it's only 6:39 and it's not 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'm not like...
Yeah, that's true. We've all got a bit too much energy. Okay. Painting, come on. Let's keep
painting.
Going.
Right, so haven't actually finished anything, but...
This was back with a vengeance.
It is back with a vengeance, but everything Ryan gave me is sprayed red.
Oh, that's true. That's a lot of stuff.
So that's now technically 5,000 points worth of Blood Angels sprayed red.
Yeah, that's better than
and
grey.
I have started to paint two Storm Talons.
Cool.
So one Storm Talon is basically there. It's just the finishing touches, which I'm leaving at the moment purely because I really like painting vehicles. So I want to hold on to, I want to savor the flavor of painting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I have that extra Land Raider that's going to have to be sprayed as well.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, painting is something you need to either do when you're in the mood or you don't do it. Because if you do it when you're not in the mood, they're rubbish.
You mess it up. Yeah.
Absolutely rubbish. So, where I've been rushing about, doing loads of different things, which is really cool. Like, it's just life getting in the way of seeing people and stuff. It means I haven't been able to do it. But with this week coming off, I'm expecting so much hobby, but wait until next month's podcast, because it's just going to be, I painted a guy.
Yeah, hopefully not.
No, hopefully it's going to be
It's going to be
guys.
At least 15.
Yeah, it should be.
We've got a game.
Yeah, it will be.
I'm going to bring
a Bane Blade.
So is that everything? You're not bringing a Bane Blade. It's not part of your list.
Could be. Yes.
Okay.
Well, but that sounds really poor. But
I thought there was more.
That's 5,000 points over painting.
Yeah.
Do you want to put that one out there?
Fair enough.
If you look at it points value, okay. I'm winning.
Well, I feel like I've done a lot more than you.
Of course you have. You always do.
That's not true.
You buy so much.
Yeah, but painting is, you know, where I fall down. But I finished the Shrine of Aquila.
At last.
So yeah, last episode.
How many recoats?
Three.
Three. Okay.
To finally get it to somewhere where I'm half happy.
Yeah.
I decided, you know what? It looks okay. It matches everything else. I'm fine with it for now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it matches everything else in my terrain. It looks good. Like, it looks okay. And I might go back to it and do some more detail later on, but I just wanted to get it, you know, lay it to rest. It's done. Move on.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I did in the month, just to get it out of the way. Then I painted the last Orc Knob that I need to paint and the last Orc Looter that I need to paint. So
hang on,
two
you had
orc
two
models.
Guys to finish.
Yeah,
you painted two Orcs in a month.
Yeah, that's all. No, wait, I've got more on my list.
Oh, okay.
So I painted those two Orcs that finished off my 1-5, ready for the battle. Hence why I've been heckling Sam about taking ages, because I'm now done.
Well, there's no point in me starting until you're finished. Because it took me a day to paint 15 guys, which takes you 6 months to paint an orc army.
Yeah, it does. That's true. Lots of orcs. Lots and lots of orcs. But anyway, other than that, I've basically done the same thing you have. I took all the Tyranids that I had,
because
I'd bought some more stuff over the last couple of months, and did a mass spray job when it was lovely on a day off.
Exactly. It was sunny, warm, sat outside, yeah. Spraying stuff.
Yeah, it was great. It's good. So I undercoated a Carnifex, the last 15 gene stealers that I needed to do, my barbed Herodil.
Awesome.
So that's undercoated now.
Is that the one about the head? Huh? Is that the one about the head? Was that the
No, that's the Dima.
Okay, the Dima, yeah.
The barbed Herodil is the one with the big guns.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty awesome. So yeah, that's now undercoated. And the three Miotic spores from Forge World.
Miotic,
Miotic, I don't know how you say it. But I'm using them as counts as Ravenous. I just quite like the models. I had them before.
Do they look like Ravenous?
Not really, but
that's right. The opposite direction of Ravenous.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. But they look cool and I like them. I'm thinking of getting a Mucoloid spore, which is one of the new big spores.
Yeah.
It's the size of roughly like a Hive Tyrant, like a big monstrous creature.
Is that the egg?
No,
the drop pod.
No, the drop pod is a Tranocyte.
Oh, okay.
In that kit, though, comes a Mucoloid spore.
Okay.
And their actual rules is they float around and blow up, basically. Like okay. The small spores.
Yeah, yeah.
But just their higher strength, higher toughness, etc. I'm planning on getting one of those and using it as a Malanthrope.
Okay.
Which is a Feel No Pain, big Venomthrope.
Okay.
So if I stick with that kind of theme, I think it'll work if I do a tiny bit of conversion just to make it look a little bit more sentient.
Yeah.
Rather than this floating thing.
Sounds good.
If I go that route, then these spores are perfect for the Raveners.
Mm.
And I've got a bit of a spore kind of vibe going on with my force. So, yeah, I think they'll work. So I undercoated those and they look good. And now my entire army is at least all that Incubi Darkness kind of green.
Yeah.
So it look when you lay it down, it doesn't feel like an unpainted army.
No.
Which is the first step.
First up to recovery, man.
So, yeah, so that's all my painting this month.
Fantastic.
So miscellaneous then. What have you got in your miscellaneous section for this month?
So I've been reading Mechanicum.
Yeah, okay, which is quite cool.
I haven't finished it just yet. I'm about 100 pages away. But okay. I wanted to put it in my miscellaneous because it'll be done by next month. And I won't talk about next month. I'll move on. But really, really enjoying it. Like, okay. I can't believe it's taken me so long to get the Heresy. Like,
I found it really, I don't know, fast-paced, nothing.
Really?
I don't know. The pacing was a bit weird.
It's made me want to buy a couple of Titans.
It's epic. It's good. But I'm not slating it, but just it had that kind of weird pacing to it.
I get. I do get what you mean. The all the Titan stuff is really fast paced. Like, sorry, don't want to ruin anything. So if you don't want to listen to it, then just flip
it's
ahead
got
like
Titans,
3 minutes.
So buy it.
Cool. Yeah. So the Titan stuff's really good, and the combat between Titans it adds to the grandeur, which is quite awesome. The only thing, the bits where they're off-world and looking at this weird psycho thing.
Having a chat.
Yeah, the psycho thing is a slightly, it's slower, but it's so key to the future of the story.
Yes, it really is. Yeah, it really is.
So I can forgive that.
Yeah, no knocking it. Just I felt that it had that kind of pacing.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else? Just that?
Miscellaneous, no.
Okay, cool. I was about 50 pages into Stormcaller last month, one of the things I remember saying to you guys was that I really wanted to get it read and kind of get back into reading my books. I've got a large stack of unread ones, and yeah, I just want to kind of get through them and have a smaller list so I can buy more. Woohoo!
Don't you wait till your birthdays?
Birthday, Christmas, yeah, the good things to have on the list, like certain models and certain things people get, you know, you put land speeder, you get a land speeder storm, you know, all that kind of stuff, which I'm, you know, I'm not ungrateful for, but books are really easy to kind of say, buy me this book.
Yeah. It's not, there's no variation of the title. If you put it down.
And I think for the people who don't quite understand what we do, like think it's, you know, just for tiny children or something, then, you know, buying us a book is, you know, something that they can kind of deal with
and relate to.
Yeah, and relate to. So
I read. Yeah. I'll buy him a book.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I really made an effort, and I completely finished Stormcaller this month.
When do you actually read?
So, normally when I get home from work, so kind of 11:30, midnight, most nights, until I go to sleep.
See, the only time I can read is when I'm at work.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, there's too many distractions, like Netflix and...
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to admit, so, you know, I'll get in from work, and Ben will text me saying I'm online... You know, or whoever else I'm online, come on Xbox, and I'll be like, yeah, all right, you know, and have a chat with them and play whatever. But yeah, I've been trying to kind of, like I say, make a conscious effort and read it, and I've finished it, and it's really good. Can't wait to see where the third book goes, because it's kind of supposed to be like a trilogy.
Yeah.
And this is the second of the series, okay. Space Wolves, hence the title Stormcaller.
Yes.
It's all about Najal. Who's so cool, and I have his model, so he's made it back into my Space Wolf list. Yeah, Black Library, damn you.
So we're now going up to, what, 15k Space Wolves?
No. Do you know what, actually? I've finally broken the whole I have to be at a certain rounded number.
No. List or nothing, damn it.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably will cave eventually, and I've got a couple of ideas. If I add him in, I've got 820 points to get to the next rounded 1,000. That could be a cool little allied force of Guard or Sisters or Space Marines. So I'm kind of toying.
Yep.
820 is not bad.
825. 820.
820.
That's a Baneblade.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to get one because they suck.
They don't suck.
They suck.
It wasn't what it was saying to your army when it was wiping off the table.
Yeah.
And on that note, suck. Let's move to games.
Yeah, all right, all right. I will say this, though. It was a really good book, and if you're a Space Wolf fan, you need to read First Blood of Asaheim, but yeah, definitely get Stormcaller, carry on the story. It's pretty epic. Well done, Chris Raitt.
Okay.
Done.
So, do you want to start games. With games by talking about our game?
Yeah, go on. You can kick us off. I'm going to open the list.
Right, so...
Do you know what, actually? Sorry. It would make more sense if I shared some of the other ones, because mine shows a real progression of my Tyranids.
Okay, well, if you talk through your games, I'll wait to the end and I'll do mine.
But yeah, so my first game of the month, I remember talking to you about it last episode, was my 3,000 points against Imperial Fist Ben. He brought his Guard Army and brought his Baneblade, and it was the first game that I played with my Barbed Heridal. And it was, yeah, 3K, so loads of Gene Stealers, Manifactorum Gene Stealer formation, monstrous creatures everywhere. Kind of my nid list, I've shared it so many times. And yeah, Ben had, you know, Lehman Russ tanks everywhere, lots of men, standard IG, and a Baneblade. It was long table edges, and I think we got kill points.
Yeah.
We just rolled on normal missions, you know, 6x4 board. Long table edges is Dawn of War deployment. Yep. Yeah. So, and do you know what? I was kind of expecting it, but Ben had first go and absolutely devastated me. Like, he's just, Lehman Russ has just removed some monstrous creatures really quickly. He focused his shooting really well. His Baneblade was absolutely just nasty and caused so much damage. I mean, I lost my Barbed Heridal turn 2.
Yep.
Like, just so many las cannons shooting at it. Although it's gargantuan, it's got Feel No Pain. Those las cannons, you know, can still hurt it on 3s and only rely on the 5+ Feel No Pain. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, my rolls weren't that great for my Feel No Pain, so he just lost wounds.
Yeah.
And there's no way of regenerating them, so that was really annoying. So, yeah, I kind of kept losing stuff, and I started getting back, and my Gene Stealers made it into combat on one of the flanks, started ripping up Guardsmen, which was really good. My Hive Crone did quite well, actually. Came in with its Haywire missiles and did pretty good. But I never was going to recover. Like, I'd lost so many monstrous creatures and units and a couple of Gene Stealer units that the points were so high up that I couldn't ever really get back.
No.
And like I say, at the end, I was really starting to kind of gain them. We went to turn 6. By the end, it was 16-9 to Ben.
Yeah.
So this doesn't sound too bad, but he was at 12 by the end of turn 2.
Oh, okay.
And I had 2. It was a real claw back. Pardon the pun. But yeah, it was hard because it was another game that my nids just got smashed to pieces. I was near table turn 4, and it was literally, I just had a couple of Gene Stealers running around.
I suppose it depends. I suppose at this point, it depends on why you play the army. Because we've had this discussion before about obviously being tabled and getting annihilated. And I think if that bothers you, perhaps you're not playing the army right.
Yeah, well, what I've you'll see over the next few games, but I've been kind of tweaking how I've played, not the units particularly, but just how I've played.
Yeah.
So I've deployed more rather than keeping monster creatures in reserves. So my flyers have started on the board rather than relying on the reserve rolls. I haven't been taking all of my Gene Stealers every game, so
which is cool,
which has helped me bring more monstrous creatures which survive better,
yeah,
and things like that. And there's a few extra things that I've mentioned already. I want to get a Malanthrope, which is a Feel No Pain monstrous creature, gives shrouded to the guys within kind of 6 inches, like a big Venomthrope.
Yeah.
So things like my Dima, my Hive Tyrants, my Carnifexes can all kind of huddle around this one central monster and get a save. One of the things I've found really hard with this army is the lack of saves. Like, just there's so many las cannons, so many melt guns, so many plasma guns in people's armies, especially in our gaming group. You know, maybe that's not the same for you guys, but it is for our gaming group. My monsters just lose wounds very quickly. And because I'm really much, you know, I'm into that whole Nidzilla monster mash kind of list, that's kind of, if that's failing me, I've got a problem. And that's been the results of my games have been, they've shown me that. But yeah, it was okay. I enjoyed the game. My highlight was definitely a single Gene Stealer taking out Commissar Yarrick.
Good.
It was awesome. Got into assault, ripped him apart before he could swing. He went over and he did stand back up and then the game ended. So it was a bit of a shame. I would have got Warlord otherwise. But yeah, it was a good game. Ben's really chilled out with his gaming. Really good fun. You know, always good to play a friend across the table. But it was just another bashing for my Tyranids, really. That was my first game. Do you want to talk about your other game, other than our one?
Yeah, it was actually against Ben.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's a pretty good segue. So it was Blood Angels versus Imperial Fists. It was diagonal deployment. And it was... what's the one where it's three objectives plus D?
Well, a few of them. Okay. It's normally Crusade is the standard objective.
Yeah, it was Crusade.
Because you've got big guns never tire, but then heavy support.
Yeah, no, it was Crusade.
Yeah, standard objectives.
Yeah, standard objectives. I took a massively different list than I normally do, which was really cool. Like it was very strange. I took four assault squads.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Two Storm Ravens.
You talking about this list.
Yeah, so four assault squads, two Storm Ravens with attack squad in each.
At what points?
This was 2K.
Oh, okay.
Attack squad in each. The Sanguinoil plus a squad of Sanguinary Guard. So yeah. Very different to what I normally play. Very different to my normal standard loadout. There was no Bar Preds, no Vindicators, nothing like that. So it was very, very strange. And first turn deployed, one assault squad. He got first turn, and that massively impacted what I deployed.
Yeah.
Because he had, obviously, his list was his normal Imperial Fist list, which was crap ton of guns, Terminators running towards me.
Yeah, a lot of tactical Marines. It worked so well with the Sentinels of Terror.
Absolutely, and you can't knock him for that. That's what he's...
No, it's fluffy as well.
What he's
it's
good
really
at.
Fluffy.
Yeah, it is fluffy, and he had he's obviously got a Vindicator.
Yeah, he got it for Christmas.
Yeah, so obviously if I play stuff down first turn, he's more than likely going to drop a template on it. So what I did was try and kept everything off and purely had just one tac squad on, which was fine. Got a little bit sniped by some scouts.
Yeah.
Stuff came on dribs and drabs. It wasn't too effective as a game, as a force. But Storm Ravens came on first turn, like annihilated most of his Terminators.
Well, second turn.
Sorry, second turn. Annihilated a lot of his Land Raiders.
Oh, okay.
Terminators.
Well done.
There we go. God, he's getting tired. Storm Raven annihilated a lot of his Terminators, and then basically started laying into
other things.
Other things. Second, third turn, dropped all of my guys from the Storm Ravens.
Oh, okay,
to
yeah.
To just start gunning.
Because
his Terminators aren't fearless, so they were running away.
Yeah, they can.
So they regrouped, obviously, dropped my attack squads so they could start gunning into things. Personally, part of me wants to say he played in a really... It's difficult not to give feedback, not to criticise the way he played.
Yeah.
Because the way he played isn't how I play.
Yeah.
He castled with his turn. Okay, he uses it to advantage. He can shoot lots.
Yeah.
He castled. So it meant that I was getting objectives.
Yeah.
So I was jumping over. I got three objectives plus Linebreaker plus Slay the Warlord. No, I didn't get Slay the Warlord, actually. There was two. There was a 10-man assault squad plus a 10-man attack squad running into Lysander. And then a 4-man assault squad joined them, and I still didn't kill him.
Yeah, Lysander's unbelievable.
So it was ridiculous. It, like that.
He's unbelievable.
Points to punch ratio, he should have died.
Yeah, he should probably be higher points as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben, but he should.
A little bit.
Not crazy, but
okay, but look at it this way then. You're talking the best part of 500 points. not being able to kill a 250 point HQ. I get he's a HQ and he's got a ridiculous save.
Yeah.
But it's just, for me, it's a little bit, if he can take out that many, if he can take that many hits on the save, then yeah, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it's dribs and drabs, isn't it? Because lots of people would say the same thing about Dante now or Mephisto.
Dante's a Lord of War.
So, well, yeah, but Lysander's Codex hasn't been, like, the Space Marine Codex has not been updated since they've done that.
Yeah, it's an old Codex.
He would be.
Yeah, okay.
So I do get it.
Yeah, but what was really cool was the fact that I took a 10-man Sangreen Guard squad. It's the first time I've done it. They ploughed in something. They obviously get death masks.
Yeah, got so much.
So much kill. They're just death. I think they were rolling like six dice each.
That's pretty cool.
Just annihilated. The only downside was the Sangrenor. The Sangrenor took on a squad of 10 attack squads on his own and killed them.
Yeah.
But he can't join another squad.
Yeah.
So he pretty much just sort of floated around on his own for a little bit.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was an interesting list. I a different way for me to play. It was interesting playing Ben. There were some rules that came up that which were a little bit. So like the Fearless, for all intents and purposes.
What do you mean?
So Ben doesn't have Fearless on his on the
hardly terminals. Any army does.
I know, but to me, a Space Marine should be
Fearless. Oh, I see. So sorry, not rules came up that you disagreed on, just rules that are a bit maybe silly.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Terminators though is they're so horrible that if you gave them Fearless as well,
they'd never move.
It'd just be like they need some kind of fallback or be more points.
Yeah, and there was also around about multiple assaults. So if Lysander is choosing to engage one squad, that squad take all the hits. Does that one squad take? Do they run away? Does Lysander get out of the combat? It's not really clear in the rule book of etiquette for multi assaults.
It's not too bad when you really look at it.
It's not one of those blaringly obvious rules, which was a little bit.
Yeah,
it was difficult on the fly for something that I don't normally multi assault. So I don't normally run three squads into one character. But it was on that situation on the fly. It just wasn't clear whether Lysander wins or he runs away.
It's all on model count, on wound count. So each squad would take a test individually.
But if he only punched one squad,
because
he can't split his, but he only punched one squad because it was the assault squad. So that one, that assault squad.
Yeah, say he lost five guys.
Lost like five guys. Yeah. They saved their leadership, but then
the other two squads still take them. Yeah,
but that wasn't clear.
Yeah, but that is the rule.
Yeah, but that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, it's just not a clear cut rule system like that.
I guess once it happens, you then know what happens.
It's like ramming. Like I didn't know how to ram tanks into tanks until I did it. So I just think especially with the way that my brain works is as soon as I need the information, I'll read it and I'll learn it. And then as soon as I don't need it anymore, it disappears.
Yeah, yeah.
So whereas you're like a retention computer.
I don't know how. I don't know why. I can't remember anything important, just all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, so that's the thing. So it's not one of those rules that sticks to me and it's not easy enough to find in the rule book, which was okay. The game was cool. I won. Do I feel necessarily happy about the fact that I won? It was a good game.
Nice.
What I think I would have liked to have done is to, which I really want to do, and I always want to do it, but I never remember to do it, is to switch armies and just to rock up and be like, I've done this 2K army, let's switch. Let's see how
you're going. I've got an idea for that, which we can talk about off air, but I've got a good idea for that.
Okay. So that's what I want to do, is kind of like car keys in a pot.
40K Swingers Club.
Yeah.
Heard it here first.
Right, your next game.
All right, so my next game was against Neil. We got a chance to meet up on both our days off, which was
so
really good.
So cool to play.
Yeah, I love hanging out with Neil anyway, and when we're gaming, it's even better. And we played a 1-5 game. I decided to bring Tyranids again. I've kind of decided that I'm going to kind of keep playing Tyranids until I feel happy with the way I'm playing them.
So you can't play them anymore.
Until I'm happy with the way I'm playing them. You know, someone said to me, oh, you're just playing them until you win. And it's like, no, I'm not that bothered about winning. I can't remember now. I don't want to shame them on air, even if I could.
Well, how wrong they are, Ben.
But the idea is to play them until I feel happy that I've understood them. Like Tyranids have been an army that I love the background, I love the models, but I've never quite got on with them gaming wise.
No.
And I think that's because I rely on, like, so orcs are really cheap.
Yep.
Yeah. and you can do multiple different lists with them and still have fun, have a good game. Tyranids feel, that book at least at the moment, feels like a one list kind of army. Gaunts, yeah. Venomthropes behind, monstrous creatures behind. So everyone's getting a three up. Yeah, that's everyone plays that way. Now, I mean, the LVO winning army was Tyranids, and it was Tunnel Lictors and Morlocks, and it was a load of spam, and it was, you know, if that's what you're into, great. And it was a different way of playing, but normally you see a line of Gaunts, and it's very thematic. You can't argue that it's against the fluff of the army, but it's just using rules to your advantage so much that I just feel a bit dirty doing it. So, yeah. And I love Gene Stealers, and this is the big pain. I love Gene Stealers. I love what they stand for. They scream at me about being the Tyranid unit, and they're just crap in the rules. And that's the big problem that I've had. But anyway, I've completely gone offline there. That was your fault. I'm blaming you. So I played Neil, 1-5. We got the Scouring. Which is the six objectives, and, you know, one's number one, two number twos, a number three, a number four, whatever. Me and Neil decided to round it off, and we made three objectives worth 2 points and three objectives worth 1 point.
Cool.
Makes bookkeeping a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just quicker to set up. And it works really well because you still have, and we rolled for the objectives of what ones it would be, and it ended up being quite spread out across the board. So each of us had a couple of ones in our deployments, and then all the twos were kind of out of both of our deployments. So it meant both of us would have to move around, which was really cool. I'll go through my list. I brought a Flying Hive Tyrant, two Lictors in the same squad, which is something I haven't done before this game. I've been playing them individually as two elite units, and they just kept getting like shot with a las cannon and instant killed. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to play two of them. I also played them off the board in reserves.
Okay.
Because they have a deep strike rule where they don't scatter. I did it to you in our game, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it works so well because you get to place them where you want, in cover, you know, and just, you know, away from the sight of the big guns.
Of course.
And then you can actually utilize them and have them do something rather than just die after infiltrating, which is what I had been doing.
Yeah.
So that was different. I brought three squads of Gene Stealers, so I still had a good number, three squads of 10 and a Broodlord. But I didn't bring the Manufactorum Gene Stealers. One, because it was 1-5, but two, because I didn't want to bring 55 Gene Stealers. I wouldn't have had any room for any other monstrous creatures.
Okay.
So, again, something that I'd just trying out. A Hive Crone, so it's the flying monster with the tentaclids, the haywire missiles, basically. The Dema, again. Which actually made some saves. I'm really stoked on that. It's the first game that I've actually been able to roll a 3+ on that thing. I brought a Tranifex with Acid Spray, so Torrent Flamer.
That's cool.
So that worked really well against Tau Fire Warriors. Oh, my. And a Carnifex, Dacifex, with the two Devourers.
In your game, was you hindered by the fact that he can multi-Overwatch?
Yes, that was a big downfall to the game for me, for the way it worked out. I mean, his list was a Riptide, three Fire Warrior squads, a Pathfinder squad, broadsides with rail cannons or rail guns, whatever they're called, a Hammerhead with an ion cannon, and a Crisis team with fusion rifles and plasma.
Okay.
So that was quite nasty for my monsters. Oh, what else? A Commander with marker drones.
Okay.
And 10 crew in reserve.
Oh, that's cool. I never see crew very often.
Yeah, and they worked really well for him. It was a really good list. It was well thought out, as normal. It was a relaxed game. I felt that my list was better. It was still very painful.
Yeah.
I was tabled turn 5.
Okay.
So it's another game where I've been tabled with the Nids.
Yeah.
But I think I'm learning. So the two things I kind of want to highlight, I guess, is Neil's rolls were quite hot. He kind of hit quite a lot of snapshots, which, yeah, just happens.
Yeah.
If he didn't have the Overwatch special rule where squads can join in and shoot,
yeah,
I really think that I would have tipped it. So I had units towards the end of the turn, charging distance, and I lost three units to his six.
Yeah.
You know, and if he didn't have them, I would have actually made it in. as the first squad that I was charging. That wounded me.
That rule needs to be nerfed.
It needs to be worked on. I like it. I think it's cool, and it gives them a uniqueness, but maybe 3 inches rather than six.
Yeah.
So if you're really going to utilize it, you need to be really crammed up.
Which would make sense.
Which,
but
yeah.
I suppose for me, isn't it, if you attack, does it work the same?
You can only overwatch once.
Yeah, for that one unit, but if you're going to assault another one.
No, every unit.
Right.
Every unit can only overwatch once. So if you've got five units ready to charge,
yeah,
they're more than likely to just do it like a normal overwatch,
yeah,
you know, against five other units. Yeah. If you've only got two units to charge, three units can shoot at that one, and two units of Tau could shoot at the other one. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
Because the other three have already shot, but yeah, the two are left. Yeah. That's basically what happened across his whole long line of deployment. I had a Hive Crone went in with a few wounds left, took one from the first squad, but then took the last two from the broadsides that were behind them.
And then they have the rule that they don't shoot at BS1.
No, well, if they've got Markalites and things like that, they can get bonus in their Overwatch, which is, again, what happened.
Yeah.
And there's things about that, but again,
it's basically a combo army. It feels like you're going to KFC and getting yourself a bucket. Like, it's not just an army.
There's a lot about the Tau that I don't like, and a lot of this is this stuff, because they do feel like they just wipe armies off the table. But I like it at the same time. It gives them a uniqueness. Yeah. They're supposed to be high technology.
And don't get
it
me
just
wrong.
Needs tweaking. I don't think it needs to disappear.
Don't get me wrong. I understand that. And it's great that an army's unique. It's great that Blood Angels can have the fast engines in their vehicles.
Yeah.
So they overcharge. But that's not going to necessarily impact
unbelievably, yeah,
like the fact that they can fire their normal BS, or that they can...
There's various things they can do. It can be quite nasty.
It's still one of those armies which is, I would happily say, is completely OP.
Yeah, it's up there with Eldar. Eldar Waif Servant spam is...
Yeah, but you don't see that very much anymore.
Well, not in our...
Not locally, okay, so not locally.
Not in our circles.
I'm not playing LVO,
yeah,
but...
Exactly.
Locally, you don't see that anymore.
No.
You still see Tau.
Yeah, you do. But I think the lists are toning down. They're just army rules.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're going, oh, I will definitely do all this. And,
yeah,
you know, it's not like every Tau player just wants to kick your bum.
I suppose for me, it's just difficult because it's not like if you pulled out all their individual rules and then pulled out all the individual rules for Blood Angels, for instance, their list would be longer.
Yeah, but that's how they work. And I think the strength in the Tau is that they have a ton of upgrades.
Yeah.
So things can have certain markers, certain augers, certain scanners, whatever the words are, to gain, you know, Interceptor or Skyfire, all those things. They cost points to have, but they're available, whereas other armies don't have them as available.
Yeah,
that follows the fluff.
Yeah. Fluff-wise, it's fine. But
it's fluff versus rules, you know? Yeah. The rules make them very painful to go against, but the fluff really makes sense. It's kind of, guess what I'm trying to get to. But yeah, I think if that hadn't happened, I would have had a few more assaults. Like, I wouldn't have lost that squad or that monster creature in the Overwatch.
Yeah.
That would have definitely, you know, tore through his Tau. I mean, I made three Fire Warrior squads run in that game, and every single one of them rallied, which never happens.
Obviously, the fish was strong with them.
Yeah, the fish was strong. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
but yeah, so I felt, although I was tabled turn five again with the Tyranids, and they're not having a good time of it, I learned something. The Lictors wiped out a crisis team. So rather than just being on the board and dying before getting anywhere, they appeared in deep strike, in terrain, had a good cover save because they got stealth, etc., etc., and then came out of that and charged the crisis team. And then they got strength 6 rending. So they
ripped
them apart.
And that's... Okay, no, there's no point in having the conversation because it's only going to... That's a cool list. That's a cool unit rule. Obviously, that they can deep strike anywhere. They don't scatter. They appear. They have that, which is cool. But your entire army doesn't have it.
No.
Whereas it's a cool rule that some guys can get Interceptor, but the entire army can have it.
So I
guess that's... Yeah, it's fantastic.
I don't want to turn into a Tau bashing session. I like the Tau. I like their fluff.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a billion comments on our page of just people going.
I don't know if a billion people join the page.
To be fair, actually, yeah. If hating on the Tau would bring us a billion comments, then we hate away. But
yeah, no, I get what you mean. Yeah. It, don't get me wrong. I they love need Fluffy Armies.
In my opinion, they need a bit of balancing.
Yeah, they need.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
What's their save?
Well, depends what unit.
Oh, okay.
Come on. But anyway,
well,
yeah,
3+.
Let's move on. That was my second game. That was my second game of the month. That was my second game with Tyranids. I tried some new tactics,
yeah,
like the Lictors together. I didn't bring any Deep Strike, so I didn't have a Morlock or a Trigon. So everything kind of started on the board. So there was more that he had to shoot at. And that seemed to help me get forward. Things lasted longer because he was, oh, I've got to kill that, but I've got to kill that, but I've got to kill that. Whereas normally I'd have more off the board in my old way of playing,
yeah,
and he'd just go, well, shoot that, that, done. So that was really good. So yeah, I think I'm learning, and that's what I'm trying to achieve out of this. So awesome. Game 3, which was against you, so you can talk.
No, I've got another game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have. So I don't know if you class it as a game.
Okay.
It's more of a mess around type thing.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Okay, cool. So basically, me, when I got my Baneblade, I was super, super happy. Nearly wet myself when it turned up. And I really wanted to test it out. So I sort of rallied the troops, sent out the bat signal, and managed to get Simon.
Geeks unite!
Yeah, basically. I managed to get Simon, everything, Ben, Imperial Fist, Ben, and Chris, who I don't think we've labeled yet.
No, well, there's only one Chris.
Chaos Chris. That's good. I like Chaos Chris.
He can be Chaos Chris.
Chaos
right.
Chris. So I managed to get all those guys together and went off on our merry way to Wayland. And I managed, and Ben and, sorry, and Ben, everything Ben, wow, this is so difficult. Everything Ben and Simon both have super heavies.
Yeah.
So got them, so coaxed them along to bring their war machines to the game.
Super heavy off.
Super heavy off. And Ben, Imperial Fist Ben, and Chris, Chaos Chris, went and had a game anyway. So that's quite cool.
Okay, cool.
Those guys can have a game.
Yeah, that's good.
So we managed to have a super heavy off. It was pretty strange. Simon brought a stomper, which I managed to break in the car.
Oh, yes. You told me about that.
The jaw. It shouldn't move.
He told me about that.
It didn't move.
You have a thing about breaking his models.
No, it's just he gives them to me.
His homemade Thunderhawk.
That's not my fault.
Stomper.
He should make it better. He should glue that better.
His stomper.
It just jiggles.
Everything else.
So managed to break the stomper. So I was playing the stomper with my, I think at that point I took the volcano cannon.
No idea.
Okay, cool.
It's all gibberish to me.
Took the volcano cannon against it, and it was good. The stomper has the advantage, the fact it moves 12,
yeah,
and it's in your face. And once it assaults you, you're dead. So there's nothing you can do, regardless of how many void shields and holes and I have. So which is cool. But then me and everything Ben teamed up against, it was 800 points versus his 500, and
oh, okay,
we still lost. So it really pays tribute to the fact how well the stomper is written. And
yeah, it's very nasty.
It's a strong, very strong.
I think it represents orcs. It takes a lot of a battering,
yeah,
but it just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like you can't hurt it, but it just has so many hole points and so many guns. And so much, you know, just all that crazy stuff that make it so special. Like, I really like them.
It's well underpointed. It should be higher.
Should I put one in my 2K for my orcs?
You can put it in 2K, but like, you ain't going to get it in the next 500 points, though. So
that's true. Yeah, it's less than that.
So, yeah, pretty much. That's that game.
Yeah.
It was cool. I think they had like 9 or 10 rounds just various things. And then they had a kill team. And I, at that point, was just bored.
Just hanging out.
Got bored and went and looked around the shop for a while.
Fair enough.
Which is cool.
So there's one game left.
One game left, and that was between me and Matthew.
Yeah, we had a game. Woohoo! Yeah. I love the fact when we have a game, because it doesn't happen as often as we like.
We'll have playing next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Technically twice in 1 month.
Yeah, technically.
So it was a 2K game. The scenario was Crusade, which is
D3 plus 2 objectives.
See? You're learning.
No, I'm learning. I remember this stuff.
I don't need to know this stuff. There's a rule book for this. And then the deployment was Diagonals.
Which is Vanguard Strike.
Well done, Matthew. The lists, if you want to review your Nid list.
No, you go first.
Okay, cool. So I took my Normal Guard list plus a...
well, minus a few things.
Okay, cool. So I took my Normal Guard list,
yeah,
which was a 2 Lehman Russ Battle Tanks.
Yeah.
A Punisher with Pask in it, Tank. A 10-man vet squad with 2 Plasmas inside a Chimera, 2 Wyverns, a Knight, And I took the Vulcan Mega Bolter.
The Stormlord.
With two super heavies. What? That rule's gone out the window. I can take as many super
you
heavies
can,
as I
yes,
like.
Yes, you can, you bumhole.
You took 2,000 points.
Yeah, I know. Of Tyranids.
But it's points. It's not on how mighty they are.
Oh, well, I don't know. We'll get to that.
Well, I did kind of lose. I lost a lot.
Oh, yeah, I did well. No, we'll get to that bit.
We only lost two whole points off the storm, off the Baneblade.
No. I took four.
Oh, sorry, four of the nine.
Four out of the nine is not bad. And I took five out of the six off the knight.
That's
in one round.
That's something we need to talk about.
We will definitely get to that. But I need to get to my list first.
Cool. Go on,
so,
your list.
So that was Sam's list, his two super heavies cheese list.
And this is Matt's let's running everything that you know you can kill armor with list.
That's not true.
That is so true. How many GC did you take this game?
30.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Lies.
No, 30. Oh, no, three squads.
They all
of 10.
Died first turn. That
yes,
was it, yeah.
Wyverns. All right. So I brought two Flying Hive Tyrants.
Cool.
Which is the first time I've done it.
Oh.
And the reason I did it is because
they take out
it works
really well?
It just works.
Okay.
I mean, they're monstrous creatures. I took one with Twin Link Devourers, as I normally do. And then I took a second one with Bonesword, Lash Whip, and Electro Shock Grubs, which is the Haywire Flamer. Which is why they've been so good against tanks.
Yeah.
Now, that's how I have that one kitted out anyway.
Yeah.
So it just happened that I was against a tank army and it helps.
Yeah.
I tend to write a list and then stick with that build. I don't tend to list tailor.
You have already said you're not going to write a list for your Grey Knights.
What?
You're not going to write a list for your Grey Knights. Your other grey things, all the same. Space Wolves. You're just going to buy stuff now.
No, that's not what I said. You did not listen to my comment just then.
Yes, I did.
What did I say?
You're going to take it up to another 1,000 points.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I didn't say anything.
We'll go back and replay it.
What I said was that I don't list Taylor
no.
to other armies. That's what we're talking about.
I'm relating back to a previous conversation where you were saying that you were going to... Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you're not right. Yeah, you are right. I am right.
You're just talking about random stuff. But yeah, so two Winged Hive Tyrants, which is first game I've tried that in. And they both worked really well, so I was happy about that. I brought the two Lictors again and played them the same way I did against Neil. And again, did really well. One actually survived the whole game.
Good.
Which was awesome. Didn't get tabled this one. Woohoo! 30 Gene Stealers again. No, I didn't.
Would have happened.
Yeah, it would have happened if we continued. But yeah, 30 Gene Stealers with a Broodlord again. The Hive Crone, which did really well because of the Tentaclids, the Haywire Missiles against tanks are always going to do well. I brought the three Raveners, count as the meiotic spores or meiotic, however you say it. But yeah, three of those, they got killed first go, but at least they were getting shot at and not my monsters.
Absolutely.
I had my Demacare on again, which died before getting into combat again. That thing's just such a bullet magnet. It never makes it.
Well, is that a bad thing?
No. And yes, I just want to see what it can do. I haven't really ever tested it out. Like it just dies before it actually gets to use all its awesome rules. It's good because other things aren't getting shot at. You're very true. That's really right.
Yeah.
One of those words.
mix and match as you so desire.
Whatever one you like. But yeah, so I don't know. Jury's still out on that one. I brought my Tranifex with Electroshock Grubs. I had enough points, so I gave it Adrenal Glands. So it gives it Fleet and Furious Charge, which is cool.
Cool, yeah.
I brought a Carnifex with two Devourers. So Dakifex, which awesome. Is how I always play it.
Yeah.
And I brought my Morlock, which was the worst game ever to bring it in because everything was in tanks.
Yes.
So that didn't really do anything all game.
Didn't you headbutt the...
Headbutt the Super Heavy because I scattered.
Yeah, you scattered and headbutt the Super Baneblade and just sort of nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened. And then I misplaced, so you put me right in front of your Baneblade.
And then shot you.
And then shot me and killed me. Well, the Stormlord, sorry.
Sorry, Stormlord.
So yes, that was my list. So again, tried something else different, tried some things that are working. And I was quite chuffed with it. How do you think the game went?
I liked it.
It was very bloody.
You did turn into a bit of a whiny little... No, no, it was a good game. I don't regret taking two super heavies.
Neither do I, actually.
If I did it with a pure guard foot soldier list, absolutely. But it fit the Stormlord... fitted right into the tank.
Yeah.
Tank
regiment. You know what? When you said, oh, I've got two super heavies, I was like, oh, great. I've been tabled every game with my Tyranids.
Yeah.
Now I've got to face two super heavies.
Yeah.
When I faced Ben's Baneblade and we were at equal points, and I had a gargantuan, so basically a super heavy.
Yeah.
And I got absolutely just destroyed, which was only two games ago.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to suck.
But I don't think the Stormlord's overpowered.
Well, no, neither do I. And that was interesting, and maybe we'll talk about that. But the thing that I think helped me is because you had two super heavies, which is a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know, it was like pretty much half your army.
You're talking just under 900 points.
Yeah, yeah. And we're playing 2K, so it's nearly half your army. So there wasn't as many units on the board,
no.
Which meant not as many of my units was getting shot,
no.
Which meant they survived and got into combat, hence why I did a lot more damage.
I think it was this year's probably my favourite game. Like, it just was, generally, because it's just been so balanced.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, I didn't feel, there was one point where I was like, yes, I've got him this turn. The next turn it was like, no, I'm going to die, everything's going to die.
Yeah.
And then it just went back and forth like that. And then it ended with very few things left over. And then I think I win on kill points? On objectives.
I would have been tabled at the end of the game, so I think we just called it. And we finished turn five.
We rolled. We rolled. We did roll and it ended.
Did it finish? Oh, okay. But yeah, because I was holding an objective with Gene Stealers, but you blew me off it.
Yeah.
I think you had Aleem and Russ parked on one or something?
Aleem and Russ parked on one. The Baneblade was there just in case. Sorry, the Stormlord was there just in case. The Knight was walking towards another one.
It wasn't quite there.
But then there was basically, I think I was holding my one, but I also had Slay the Warlord, First Blood.
Yeah, you got First Blood.
And Linebreaker, I think, as well.
With the Knight. With the Knight's leg. Yeah.
So I think it was one of those really close. We never keep score. We should maybe keep
track. Yeah, we should probably. I keep score of everyone else's games.
I'm pretty sure I won.
Yeah, you definitely did. I didn't have any objectives. I had one Flying Hive Tyrant left, which had one wound.
Yeah,
and my Lictor, one Lictor out of the two.
And the Lictor would have moved on to another objective.
And it was in line of sight of your two Lima Russes, so it would have not survived.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't get tabled, which is a massive plus for this army so far.
Yeah,
you know, best result. I put into effect the things I've learned from looking online, from reflecting about my list. Again, deploying more, adding the Raveners to be, you know, they move 12 and move so quick towards you that I think they, you know, almost you kind of have to shoot at them.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, they were in your face turn two. So you had to shoot at them, and that meant it was a round off of my Dima or my Carnifex.
Yeah.
Which got another round of shooting. My two Flying Hive Tyrants were amazing. And I don't think... I mean, lower games, I wouldn't obviously take two, but around that 2K mark, I will always have two Flying Hive Tyrants.
Yeah.
It works so well. It's just two things you got to shoot out the sky.
Yeah.
And they're fast.
None of my list has Interceptor.
Yeah.
So you're going to get...
It just works so well.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so I'm really chuffed about that. Lictors have been doing really well. Really, they've felt very...
I like how you're doing it and how you're running them now.
It feels much more how they work.
Yeah. And do you know what? I like the fact you're not taking so many Gene Stealers. I get that maybe is how you see it playing.
Yeah.
But I think taking
55
Gene Stealers to me is just like kind of spam.
Well,
they can take out vehicles really well.
It's not spam necessarily because, I mean, you can take one squad of 50 conscripts.
Let's change the word spam then. It's putting a lot of faith into something which may or may not pay off.
It doesn't
have a save.
It doesn't work.
They don't have a save.
Five up.
They have a five up, but bolters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bolters negate their save.
They very rarely get saves. They have to hunker down in terrain. And what I've found is three squads of 10, you know. So I lost. One squad was just getting shot at by the Knight and just had to go to ground every turn, just on a hope of surviving. One squad got completely blown up by your Wyverns before I even moved.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about that. The other squad got into combat with your Lehman Russes and wrecked one.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They do well when they get there.
I think not necessarily having 55 made it work better.
Cutting those 25 out is, let me think about this, 70 points each squad.
Yeah.
I'll try and maths. 450 points?
I think if we played a City Fight game.
Oh, they'd be unbelievable.
If you took a City Fight game, you literally had your Gene Stealers versus whatever I take in points-wise. It'd be phenomenal. It'd be so interesting to say how it works.
Yeah, it would be really cool. Maybe we'll try that once.
We'll try it. We'll let you know.
But yeah, so I was really chuffed with the things I'm learning. I'm adapting. I'm being like the hive mind and adapting to all the games I'm having.
I think the more important thing is I'm still the War Master.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you've been having a good old run.
I just find not playing people makes it easier.
Yeah.
Or playing people that are weaker than me.
Oi. Why? Take offence to that. But yeah, I mean, I'm adapting with the Tyranids. It, again, with two super heavies on the board, I was quite proud that I wasn't tabled. I think there was obviously advantages to that, less units, etc. We've already mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of firepower, etc., etc. You know, the highlight of the game for me, which is a highlight but a bit of a moment, was my single Carnifex taking 5 hull points off the knight in one round.
That was because I fluffed my rolls.
Yeah. Well, I
no,
mean,
no, no,
I,
no. Doesn't he go first? Didn't he go first?
I got D3 Hammer of Wrath for charging, which meant that I rolled for 3 at strength 9, no AP. You don't have an invo anyway because you're a vehicle.
So stupid.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like a force field. It's the same as Titans. So it's kind of a bubble around you once you pass through that bubble.
I suppose this is what we discussed, isn't it? It's because they're walkers, but they're not walkers in the sense that they have follow, an initiative. They don't have a leadership.
Yes, yeah, so they do get locked like walkers do. We looked for a long time. But yeah, so I took some hull points off from my Hammer of Wrath. Then you fluffed your hits and I only lost a wound because you rolled really badly.
Or
lost 2 wounds, something like that. And then I rolled really well because, again, Carnifex strength 9, hurting armor on 13.
Yeah.
Not bad at all, and you know, like 4 attacks on the charge, 5 of something like that, and got it down to 1 whole point left. And then we remembered your stomp attack,
which is completely valid and makes complete sense, but Matt hates it.
Yeah, we'll get to why. You can probably guess where I'm going with that into the next section, but segment. Sorry, but yeah, I was really chuffed, and then that D weapon just hit me, and you rolled a 6, and no more card effects, which you know is. It's thematic, etc. It's a clunky rule, and I still don't like D weapons particularly. But again, we'll get to that in the next segment. We're going to take a break, get a glass of water, or some Monster, or a beer, whatever else.
Can we have beer?
Maybe.
We should have beer. We should have beer.
Yeah, if we've got some.
Maybe we should record at a bar.
No, it'd be loud.
It's fine.
But yeah, we're going to take a break and come back with our second segment, Pain and Joy of 40K.
Hey guys, Sam here from the Adeptus Terra podcast. I'd like to take this opportunity to advertise you guys, actually. If you want to get in contact with us to advertise any gaming groups, Facebook pages, any other podcast, anything to do with 40K and the hobby, then just drop us an email on the Adeptus Terra podcast at gmail.com. That's the Adeptus Terra podcast at gmail.com. We'd be happy to have that conversation with you and hopefully get an advert going out for you. Thanks. See you soon.
So, welcome back. This is our Pain and Joy of 40K section.
That was the longest break ever.
Yeah. Lots of Chinese and lots of deep life talking. It's good to hang out with friends, isn't it? I love it. That's what I live for. I love those conversations.
What segment are we on?
Pain and Joy of 40K. So, yeah, like I'll re-explain it to you just so you know where we are.
Yeah.
And this is where we kind of have something that maybe we're not enjoying and something that we really are enjoying, and we share it. Go.
Right, so my joy of 40K. Ooh,
a joy straight away.
I like joy. I'm not that miserable. Wow. My joy of 40K is probably... Oh, well, I like D weapons.
No, we're not. That's not what's on my notes.
I don't know. What do I like about 40K? Oh, yes, I remember what I like about 40K. It's all the additional non-Warhammer games with a 40K twist. So I'm quite infatuated, good word.
Yeah, good word.
With the different varieties / availabilities in the 40K universe. Okay. So if you look at the Space Marine game on Xbox, PS4...
Always good fun.
Always good fun to have a laugh. It's got a Warhammer-related thing. You play as a Space Marine against Orcs, which is quite cool. Which is really awesome. And then you have also Drop Pod Assault, which is the map
iPad
builder,
game,
the iPad game. You've got Death... what's it called?
Space Hulk,
which is again the iPad game.
And the board game.
Which is a turn-by-turn. You've got Space Hulk, the board game. You have Relic, which we were playing a few games of last night.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention that, actually.
I thought we'd leave it for now.
Okay,
So you have all these different varieties of game, which incorporate the universe that I really enjoy and I really love reading about,
and that has those twists. And I really, and I like the fact that I don't have to play 40K for 3 or 4 hours to get my fix, as it were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it is good to kind of branch out and do different things.
My joy is the fact that these exist, and yeah, they're bringing out a new Death Watch game, which follows the very follows a very similar turn-based
Space Hulk type
game for the iPad, and then Android. So that'd be quite cool. And I really enjoyed like a game of Relic. So we had two games of Relic last night at Wayland with our friend Imperial Fist Ben.
Yeah.
And the game is, well, I think it's obvious. You either start off really well and do really well, or you start off poorly and you die.
Yeah, yeah. I've played 3 games of this, all with Sam. And 2 games I did really well. One game I won. And the other game I just, was not good right from the off. Just, rolled badly, got unlucky threat cards and had to fight, Lucius the Eternal or a Thousand Sun Sorcerer or Fabius Baal straight away. So your strength's really low. Like, you work off attributes, so you've got strength, cunning, agility, willpower.
Strength, cunning, willpower, and then you have life.
Yeah, yeah. And you use all those things, and it's different mechanic, obviously, to 40K, but you still roll dice, so it's always fun.
Yeah, and then I found you either do really well or really poorly.
Yeah.
And I think some characters are more challenging than others. You have to play them a certain way.
Yeah, so I was the Calidus Assassin, which starts pretty boss.
Yeah, and I was the Imperial Psycho, the Sanctioned Psycho.
Yeah, which starts off really bad.
Which is ridiculous. It only has 2 psychic cards.
Power limits, yeah.
But there's the Inquisitor, who is an Order of Hereticus Inquisitor, actually, who has 2 as well, and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I'm a sanctioned psycho, damn it. So, those kind of games. Really enjoy playing them. Really interesting. I think discussing Relic might be a bit too much for this episode.
Yeah, completely. Let's not. Yeah, I just wanted to give you. It's basically, if you've ever seen Talisman. Or played Talisman, it's the 40K version of it, and it's really cool. It's quite pricey, but it's definitely worth the money and the amount of time you'll play it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we played 2 games and we got, got there, 6:30?
Yeah.
And we left at about 11.
11, yeah.
By the time we packed up.
Yeah, so it's a 4 to 5 hour investment kind of game. But that's awesome because you pay like £60 for it.
Yeah. The thing I liked about it is unlike, a game of 40K, you sit around the table, stand around the table normally, and play each other, and you're very concentrated on the game, and you'll have a little chat with your friend, but the reason you're together is to play the game.
Yeah.
With Relic or any other board game, it tends to be a group of you, and the board game is almost secondary. So we were playing, but we were talking about the new potential Mechanicum release.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking about, Imperial Fists, and because that's all Ben ever wants to talk about.
Because he loves them.
And demons, and this 40K, that 40K, and then into other things, cars and various other parts of life. And that just seems to flow easier when you're playing one of those kind of games because they're much more relaxed.
Yeah, definitely beer and pretzel game.
Yeah, yeah, which is our kind of gaming. So
exactly.
Thumbs up. I'm fully with you on that.
Cool. So do you want to jump on your joy?
Yeah, we're doing all the joys first.
I think we should do the joys.
Then we're just going to moan to finish off.
Yeah, moan to finish off.
Fair enough. Mine is actually adapting my Tyranids. So I've been really struggling with Tyranids. They've almost made it into my pain several times. I haven't been having good games with them. They're quite difficult to paint and time-consuming. Lots of negatives to this army in my head. But my heart just loves them, and I can't quite get away from them. Just this last month, playing those 3 games, and each game seemed to learn something and adapt the list slightly, and it performs a bit better. And then doing that again in our game to kind of round off the month. I wasn't tabled. It was the first game that I wasn't tabled. That's a huge difference, and I used 2 flying hive tyrants, and that works, and I want to try and do that more, bringing less gene stealers, still having 30 odd on the board, but bringing less than my max to bring in a couple more monstrous creatures makes my list a bit more viable. So it was, playing around with that, keeping the rough kind of picture that I want for my army, but also willing to adapt and change to have a better result.
I suppose that's true for any 40K army, like especially Blood Angels. There's many different ways to play Blood Angels.
Yeah, there is now.
And there's like one way that I play mine.
Yeah.
Or now 2, that's right. I think it's what is really cool is the viability of adapting the way you play in order to get the best from your army, mix that with the fluffiness of the army,
yeah,
and go from there. I think it's definitely a cool thing.
Yeah, I think the thing is you can either go one way and go, oh, I've been tabled a load of times, let's make a kick-ass list. And I could sit down for, you know, in 20 minutes and probably write a nid list that could beat quite a lot of our ongoings of our group. You know, not in a bragging way, but just in the fact that I know what that codex strengths are. You know, I'm very involved in online and seeing what lists work and what tactics work. And I could do all that, but that's not how I want to play. I want to play in how my image of Tyranids works and how the units I like. Now, when you do that, and if those units you like aren't the big strong of the codex, you're going to have some setbacks. And it's about finding that middle ground. And I think I'm starting to find it. I'm starting to find a list that I enjoy. I like the models to build, paint. I like the rules to play. You know, there's always going to be one or two that you don't like. Gene Stealers are a real issue for me at the moment with their rules, but I just love them. They're too iconic to not include. I just love having lots of monstrous creatures. So what I love, and making that into a viable list, not necessarily one that just wins all the time, because I'm not bothered about that. Like, I don't feel particularly crap about being tabled and losing. It's more the fact that this just hasn't worked at all. If I get tabled but I've put up a real big challenge for my opponent and they've had fun trying to counter me and I've been trying to counter them, I don't care if I get my face stomped. But if they've just walked over me and they feel a bit bad for doing it and I feel bad because I've not even given them a challenge, then everyone's a bit of a loser. And I want this army to work enough to provide good games, not just for me, but for my friends. And I think I'm really reaching that. So that's my joy. I've been, you know, tweaking lists and looking at that. And it kind of reinstalled some faith in the Gene Stealers and in Tyranids in general.
And your pain?
My pain. Okay. I've got two.
Okay. Do you want you do one, I do one, then you
do they're kind of half pains. They're not awful. I got involved in a Facebook conversation on a group.
It was a bit.
And it, well,
you did sound like you hulked out a little bit.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
No,
I replied.
I'll find the comment if you want. No. It was definitely.
It was a stern reply, but I wouldn't say I was really annoyed with him. It was just a bit like, really, and I'll get into the point now. Fanboy moaning, you know, like, especially with Space Marine chapters and Legions, this is a big thing. And you see it everywhere, and you're always going to support your Legion. So for me, Space Wolves are the best Space Marine Legion that exists.
Wow.
Because I like them the most, you know? But I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I think Ultramarines are awful, or I think Night Lords are rubbish, or World Eaters are stupid, or these are silly. Because, well, why would I? They've all got their reasons. They're all created that way. They've got different fighting styles. That doesn't make them bad. And it was two things. One, it was a dude saying the Ultramarines were the best Legion ever. And one, I don't necessarily agree with that, but fine. You know, I wasn't bothered. That comment was fine. It was the fact that then he went, oh, but, you know, the Space Wolves are stupid, blah, 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 blah. You know, just laid into the Space Wolves for, you know, no real reason. And I was like, well, hang on a minute. If you look at the fluff of the background of the Space Wolves, they fight cunningly. They surround their prey. They don't just run in guns blazing. They've got a strategy. And Russ was a good tactician.
I think he likened the Space Wolves to being the uncontrollable attack dogs of the Emperor.
Well, he just was taking a swing. He just wanted to make them seem like they were stupid.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why? Like, one, this is a sci-fi.
This is a game.
Not real.
This is a game. Yeah. I think that's probably, like, the most highlighted thing.
What are you talking about? This is a game. Like, for one, but two, like, why do you feel the need to do that?
Yeah.
You know, are you doing that because you want to try and raise the profile of your chosen chapter? Like, come on, chill out.
Or do you want to do it just to go to an argument out of someone?
Yeah, so, you know, I just said, look, you know, Ultramarines are awesome. Gulliman was really smart. He was a Primarch. They all were very good at what they did. They were made to be. But you can't just go around smashing the Space Wolves for what they were, because they were built for a reason and have certain traits, and actually you're just making crap up that isn't true.
I think you did caveat that with, I will find you and I will kill you. But
yeah, I should have done. But yeah, so that was one, just kind of that fanboy. We all get excited about the armies we like. And, you know, we've spent earlier in this episode moaning about Tau.
Oh, rubbish.
You know, and I really don't like the Tau for their rules, for their background. I'm just not into it. But I really appreciate the people who are. I genuinely do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get on some soapbox and just make some stupid comments about Tau players. Because why would I? Like, come on, chill out. Like we say, it's a game. They're tiny models.
They may only speak fish as well.
That was hello in town.
Yes.
So I just found that really frustrating. It's like, really, you're an adult. I'm an adult. Why are we having this conversation? It wound me up a bit.
Okay.
And my other one was just D weapons.
Shut up. D weapons are awesome.
Hear me out. I'm not saying D weapons are awful.
Okay.
I like that they're included. I like the inclusion of super heavies. I think they bring a different aspect to the game that was locked before. You know, you could only have them at APOC. I think that openness is really cool.
You hate the D weapon table?
No, well, the D weapon table is fine, and they've weakened that as well. 7th edition is the best D weapon table I think that's ever existed, because it's and they've done that because it's available in normal games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like you just don't get any saves ever. You don't get any armor saves and sometimes cover saves, I think. Is that true?
It's,
I think it's invulns only.
One is nothing. They manage to jump out of the way.
Yeah.
2 to 4 is no cover save. No armor saves allowed.
Yeah.
No.
I can guarantee you, every time, other than a 1, there's no armor saves or cover saves allowed in any result.
No, I think 2
invulns are allowed other than 6s.
I thought 2 was you get D3 plus.
Yeah. It has a certain effect. But what I'm saying is you're allowed a save other than a 6.
Okay.
Whereas before it used to be every D weapon you had no saves.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a new change which I really like.
Okay. So what don't you like about D weapons?
The thing I don't like, I think it's combat D weapons.
Okay, so like my Imperial Knight with its arm.
With the stomps. Is kind of irrelevant in this. I don't want to go on about the stomp rule. I think it's a bit silly in the way it works.
Okay. That's a different rule.
Yeah,
that's not
but that's yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about that in this pain for now.
Okay.
It's more the fact that, you know, in combat you get that 6 and that unit just dies. There's no even.
So do you feel the same way about the overridden rule, where in combat they lose, they go to run, you catch them, they die.
Sweep in advance. No, I don't like that either.
Okay, so it's not just limited to D weapon. It's just the ability to take off a whole unit just by one attack.
Yeah, to take it all off, and you have nothing to do about it.
I suppose so.
It's just demoralising. It's a bit stupid.
Absolutely, but if you throw a 30-man conscript squad into it, and I only get 6 attacks,
they're going to run.
Yeah, but they don't. It's not a wipe out. If you run like one character into it, then they get an invul save anyway. I don't think.
Well, no, not on a 6.
Okay, not on a 6. I agree with what you're saying in principle of it's rubbish to have a whole unit taken off because of one weapon. And I'm the first to say I hate the sweep and advance rule. I absolutely do. How is one Harlequin going to overrun a 20-man squad?
Yeah, I've got various ideas of how they could solve that. But
again
another rule, different day.
However, I do think that the D weapon is... I think it is valid, and it's not like it's a guy with a thunder hammer.
Yeah.
You're talking, this is a 375-point unit who's wielding this weapon, which may or may not, on a dice roll, actually have that effect of no invul saves allowed.
Yes, yeah, and I'm not saying it's broken. I'm just not a fan of it. I think, you know, because it's not just one attack, you know, so you can just instantly take out...
It's 5 on the charge.
Yeah. So, yeah, for a knight, let's say.
The only way use it is in the knight. Yeah. So, 5 on the charge. Yeah. Okay, reason dictates I've missed 1.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go into that.
Yeah.
My point is that you attack and my model's removed and I can't do anything about it. Thanks for coming. Thanks for putting that model on the ground. Whatever.
Okay.
That upsets me.
Well, but my knight doesn't have an armor save. So, if you come up against me with a power fist and I don't kill you, say, because he's not that smart. He's only an initiative 5.
Yeah, but you're always going first.
Okay, but if you get that off and he doesn't die and he's a squad of 10 and he's at the back, power fist, there's nothing I can do to defend against that power fist. Because I don't have a save.
Yeah, that's like every other vehicle.
But then...
This isn't just about the knight. This is the D weapon close combat attack.
But there is no difference between a D weapon or a AP1 power weapon?
There is, because an AP1 power weapon causes a wound or a hole point.
Yeah.
Whereas a D weapon just removes your model.
If you rolled a 6.
Yes. And that's the part I have the issue with.
But that's a 1 in 6 chance. It's not necessarily.
But it's still a chance. It still exists. And that's my problem with it. I'm not saying that it's valid or anything. I'm just saying that's why it's my pain. I don't like it. I don't like the feel of it. It just makes you feel emancipated.
Yeah.
It just makes you go.
It's one of those weapons where.
I can't do anything.
It's one of those weapons. It's like when you rock up to a game and you bring a foot guard army and they bring 10 flyers and you have no interceptor.
Yeah.
What can I do here? It's like when you took your 2 flyers against all of my guard army. I had nothing I could shoot at them, so I had to fire a Vulcan megabolter at them.
Yeah, that's pretty good to do the job, to be fair, and you did kill them.
But not
well, 2 out of 3 of them.
No, I didn't.
Hive Crone and one of the
not
Hive
just
clones.
The Vulcan megabolter. I think that shot's from Lascan. Well, it's the same principle.
But there's a counter.
But there's not.
Yeah, there is.
There's a 1 in 6 chance a D weapon can do that.
Yes.
Whereas if I bring something, if I'm ill-equipped to deal with something.
Yeah, but you've got a 1 in 6 chance of shooting me out of the sky. It's the same result.
So exactly. So you've got to hate that as well. It's not just D weapons.
No, because your whole army can do that. It's completely different. The issue is that if I was playing Space Wolves and had 3 squads of Longfangs, your knight would have not got into combat. Because las cannons, etc.
Yeah. It wouldn't have made the amount of shots versus the amount of saves I can make.
But the reason it's kind of bit at me, and the reason I kind of don't like it, is like my Tyranids have no shooting that can damage your armor.
So it has to be assault.
I get into assault with potentially 3, monstrous creatures.
Yeah.
And you just roll 3 6s, and my 3 monstrous creatures on full health just disappear. Like that could happen. It's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah,
could happen, and I don't like the fact that could happen.
Other than I was quite lucky in the fact that I rolled the upgrade in that game, but we'd be going at the same time otherwise, initiative wise. So you'd get your hits, and you look in one turn you took 5 hole points off of my knight.
Oh yeah.
So I get what you're saying.
I'm not saying it's a broken rule.
I get what you're saying, but it's just like a monstrous creature doubling their strength to punch a vehicle. You're almost certainly going to win a vehicle, and that vehicle. There's many rules in 40k which leave the other models unable to defend.
Yes, but I think D weapon is something different to those, not in mechanic but in feel.
Yeah,
there's something about D weapons that says there's no counter to this.
Well, it's like we were actually discussing in the game the fact that if a Space Marine stood at the side of outside of a tank or on top of a tank. In the turret, and he gets assaulted, they can't Overwatch. They're not going to turn that big old storm bolter towards to shoot something.
Yeah, I mean, passengers only. And stuff.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, and that's silly. Yeah, that's silly. And that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
It's not that this rule's broken, and I think the table's the best it can be.
Yeah.
It's not that, it's just, it doesn't feel like, I wouldn't have a problem with a las cannon sniping my HQ and taking it out from doubling it out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But if that was a D weapon, for some bizarre reason, I really hate it.
Maybe you just hate the D.
Like, I'm not... Yeah, maybe I just hate D. Which is a good thing for my wife. but, I just... Yeah. And I think even then, if I die from a D weapon shot, okay, it's a giant cannon. But just, I don't know, there's something about the combat.
So filthy feeling about
the D. Yeah, I just don't like it. And I can't get...
Okay, I get that. It's like when... the first turn of our last orc game where my Vindicare assassin took out your HQ.
Yeah.
First turn, you didn't even move him.
Yeah.
He was just gone.
Yeah, and that was like, oh. Yeah, but even then, okay, an assassin, sniper rifle, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But there's just something about, I can't even comprehend why, but it I can't handle it. It really gets at me. Like, it's eating under my skin. But yeah, anyway, your pain.
That you have such double standards.
Yeah, they're not that double. I'm admitting the double standards, so it's okay.
I don't really have a pain.
Okay.
I don't know. I think the only thing I'm really sort of hating on is the fact that I feel like I have to be motivated to paint. Like I did a lot of spraying, which was awesome. Painted, got so far into a few models of painting, but then just stopped and just didn't really fancy picking it up.
Yeah.
It feels really bad, but it's just one of those. I think you always have months where you just can't involve the hobby.
Yeah.
And it just means that actually doing a podcast means that I need to.
Yeah.
We were only talking before that the first half of this was an hour and a bit long.
Yeah. Before editing.
Before editing. Before editing, yeah. When it's 20 minutes long, you understand we have to cut a lot out. but it means that if we don't, I feel now obligated to hobby, because if I don't, I don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Which is part of the reason we did this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's not a guilt trip. It's just purely, I feel the reason, the need to hobby now, which is awesome. But I just think the last month I've just sort of sat there and gone, I'll buy more stuff to talk about. Hello, Beyblade.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll stop there. You've probably had enough of us whining and moaning. Hopefully you remember our joys as well. You know, alternative 40K games, go check some out. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed adapting my NIDs, and that's kind of spurred me on to keep playing them. I'm really looking forward to playing Orcs, though.
We're not miserable.
I can't wait. Orcs versus your Green Knights. Can't wait.
Going to happen.
Oh, it's going to be so good. That's going to be my joy, I think, just playing the Orcs again. I've enjoyed every game of playing Orcs.
I'm
looking forward to
HQ
it. Yeah, whatever. I don't care. They're Orcs. I don't care.
Oh, I'm surprised I've actually brought a knight in my...
No, I know you haven't. I know your list. Anyway, right. Cool. We're going to take a break and we'll come back with our third segment.
Thank you much.
Hey, guys. Matt from the Adeptus Terra podcast here. Just want to take this moment and advertise our Facebook page with you. If you want to get involved and share your thoughts and your feelings about this podcast, about what you'd like to see, or even share some of the stuff you're up to, we love seeing your hobby progress. Go to www.facebook.com/ The Adeptus Terra Podcast, and we'll see you there. So welcome back to our third segment, 40K Spotlight, and we've got a special treat for you all. We're doing a Primark.
Jeez.
Da, da, da.
So no mean feat.
Yeah, we were quite nervous about doing a Primark, and I let Sam pick the Primark.
Yeah, why?
Because I got Bjorn last time, I felt kind of guilty for doing...
Should have done Sangus.
One of my, yeah.
I would have known more about
him. You picked. But we're talking about Lionel Johnson of the Dark Angels, which is kind of cool because he's the first Legion.
Yeah.
Dark Angel of the First Legion, he's the first Primarch we've covered, so yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I first came across Lionel when I was reading the Descent of Angels, the fourth? Third?
No.
I had the list, I got rid of
No, nowhere near that, like seventh.
Is it?
Yeah, because you've got Horus Rising, False Gods, Galaxy in Flames, Flight of the Eisenstein, Fulgrim, they're the first five.
Your memory is ridiculous.
So it might be six. I can't remember if there's a short story book before here.
Descent of Angels. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Really?
13 in the suggested reading list on Black Library.
Wow, 13. Wow.
But that includes stuff like the Aurelian is in there as well.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah. You could take out the extras, ebooks and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to count again.
No.
But yeah, so this is the first time I came across it, and I found it a really good book. A lot of people said it was quite boring and slow.
It's Gav Thorpe, I think. Is it Gav Thorpe?
It is Michael Scanlon.
Oh, okay.
So not even
might as well be Gav Thorpe. He writes all the Dark Angels.
I really liked it, and it's one of those books that I found followed the linear
pattern
of Crash founding.
Yeah, so it's Discovery. Story of how they came about, kind of thing.
Exactly, and I think no better place really to jump straight in on Lionel.
Yeah, I think with all the Primarchs, we should probably start with their early life.
So
he was scattered like all the others
through the warp.
Yeah, off he goes.
Chaos Gods played with all of them.
Yeah, sent them where I don't know. They always seem to pick like the perfect places for them though.
Yeah, send them into a sun.
So but Russ, this kind of wild beastie guy, ends up on a planet surrounded by wolves.
Although, are they a product of where they landed? So if Russ landed on Caliban, would he be a spineless traitor? Or if he landed
There's a lot of Dark Angel players who are going to hate you for that.
if he landed on Ultramar, would he be an Emperor wannabe?
Yeah. Traitor.
Traitor, yeah. if he landed on the snow planet, would be the crazy dog that he is. Oh yeah, no, he is already. Yeah, it's fine.
That's a big question. The short answer for that is I would want to say a bit of both. I think the Emperor created them for a certain reason.
Yeah,
and maybe I've heard one of the arguments has been that the Primarchs were scattered by the Chaos Gods, but the Emperor kind of intervened and at least could kind of scatter them somewhere that would make them a bit more safe than they were.
Yeah.
Now, it's a bit of a of a stringy theory.
I don't think you can shake your hand. And
oh, yeah.
And
that good
listen.
Radio, isn't it? Yeah.
I think very much with the stuff I read of the, especially Lionel. How do you say it? Lionel?
Lionel Johnson, I would say. Or the lion.
Okay, so the stuff I've read about the lion is very much that he has that honor, very Aslan-ish.
Yeah.
Towards him.
Well, I mean, he's brought up in a knightly order, so.
Exactly, and again, is he a product of where he landed, or is
again,
he,
I think a bit of both.
Bit of both. So we, both. Like you said, let's start with the early
Let's start. So he's scattered like all the others, and he's cast to a death world, which is infested by monstrous, chaos-warped beasts. These giant kind of imagine lions on crack.
You know what? It's a very good explanation in the book about how what they look like. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. The humans that are on Caliban, they're in tribes, much like every other planet that any Primarch lives.
Not all of
on.
Them, but
majority.
You know,
of them.
Most of them are in a kind of civil war state kind of attitude.
There's no planet which is a utopian world where all the there's no disease, famine.
Fulgrim's wasn't bad, actually. I don't think.
Really? Look where Fulgrim ended up.
Yeah, but I think Fulgrim ended up in a high-rise royal block. Family kind of deal. So he kind of was brought up
boy.
In the arts. Yeah. So another reason why I don't like Fulgrim, really.
So the humans on Caliban, they were setting their tribes. They were fighting against each other. Although much against a lot of the other Primarchs where they landed, like Sanguinius, who landed on a
desert.
Fallout desert type thing. He landed in a place where they had quite sufficient technology to produce armor, very similar to power armor, and the firearms were very similar to
bolt pistols. Yeah, so they kind of had this really good technology, but yet kind of lived in these kind of almost medieval type knightly orders, which is kind of a bit of a twist, really.
Which
it's
is
like
really
sci-fi
cool
knights. It's
because
kind of cool.
The knightly orders were there basically like the protectors of Caliban, so they would then go and protect the normal people. I say the normal people from all the great beasts that were on the planet.
Yeah, they were kind of like the savior of men. They were kind of the guys that people wanted to be. And I don't know, it's quite interesting that Dark Angels are the first legion, and their Primarch is found on a world where there's technology that's similar to power armor.
Yeah.
There's knights. There's this feeling of we are the superheroes that save the planet, which Space Marines, let's face it, are known as in the 40K universe.
Yeah.
You know, 41st millennium, they are the heroes of heroes.
Yeah.
And here we have, right at the beginning, the first legion that, you know, I don't know if he was the first one that was found, but he was definitely the first, his legionnaires, the first legion, were created out of his gene seed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure in the order of who was found in what order, but...
So the lion was discovered by one of these knightly orders.
The order itself.
The order.
The order.
That sounds so grand.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird. There's one called the Knights of Lupus, which come back into play a little bit later. But there's this one that kind of sounds a bit cocky, really, and they're called the Order.
So they were found by the Knights of the Order.
Yeah.
Was it Luther that actually found him? Or
yes. So Luther finds him. Sar Luther
is
his full name.
I should use his full name rather than his last name.
Sorry. Luther is what he's best known as. But he's kind of the greatest guy of the age. He's like the heroes of heroes. He's the king if they had one.
See, you know? I always found... when reading the book, it was very much apparent that Luther was... I thought Luther was... the same level, like growing up with the lion, but rather, whenever you read the overviews and stuff, it's always Luther was there and he raised the lion.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the Primarchs grew incredibly fast.
Yeah,
they were designed to, so they reached adulthood very quickly and then stayed there. So you probably had Luther was a man, you know, in his prime, say, you know, and then by the time the lion kind of caught him up, you know, they were the same age, and then, you know, Luther kept getting older and the lion just didn't seem to
go any further. Yeah.
I don't know, like maybe something like that was going on.
So what does Lionel Johnson mean?
It's a name after a poet that wrote a poem.
Okay.
But that's where the actual name comes from.
Right.
I mean, its meaning in the background of Caliban is the lion, son of the forest.
Okay.
So Luther kind of sees him. he's this wild boy who somehow looked after himself in the deep forest of this death world.
Yeah.
Primark just, you know, bashing heads even from day one.
I always picture it like the animated series from Disney, Hercules, where Hercules is the baby and he sort of like throws the lion over his shoulder. And So Caliban is very much like, I picture it as oldie England style, with like dragons and flying lions and stuff. And it's just very dense. And... Yes, it's very dense forest. And stuff. Everything is somehow surrounded by forests.
Yeah.
And so the lion lived in those forests, like baby
raised
Hercules.
Himself, you know. And I think the Order wanted to kind of kill him because they weren't sure what he was. He seemed dangerous.
That sounds like a human race, doesn't it? Kill him, we don't know what he is.
Kill it, we don't know. But Luther is like, no, I can see a great thing in him. He's clearly survived out here. That's amazing. We'll keep hold of him. And before long, after Luther kind of raising him up and teaching him the way of the Orders, the Lion replaces Luther as the greatest man on Caliban. He becomes known as the Grand Master of the Order.
That's a kick in the face, man. I raised you, now you supersede me.
I mean, I see this as quite a humble thing of Luther. He sees that the Lion is stronger, faster, probably smarter than he is. So actually, I'll back down and he's now his friend, you know? He's like his father become friend. So I see this great act of humility. And later on in the story, we see why I kind of don't like the Lion. I think he's a bit of an idiot. But if you think, if he brought himself up in the forest on his own, he never really learned how to deal with other people. It's probably just messed up.
Oh, exactly. He's a very selfish person.
Yeah.
Looks after number one.
But so he becomes the Grand Master of the Order. And basically he kind of raises up all the other Knights of the Order, save one, the Knights of Lupus, which I said came back into it. On a planet-wide crusade to kind of kill all these warp beasts, to kill these, you know, great creatures that threaten the life of the humans. Kind of, he rallied all the knightly orders together, and they went on a big crusade to kill them all. And during that, actually, the Knights of Lupus, although they didn't get involved, were destroyed. Which is kind of, we don't really know how, but they were. Whether that was because of the Lion, they were. It says that they were exterminated. They were completely wiped out. So we don't know if the Lion did that because they said no to him, or the Beast did that.
See, the start of the Chaos Taint.
But yeah, I mean, the Lion was a beast, and he's known apparently as killing one of the two only Calibanite lions that were on the planet, which from all I can find, and I did a bit of research, I couldn't find too much, but they're just giant lions. You know, elephant-sized lions kind of stuff.
Jeez.
And he kills one. And the other one is actually killed by a librarian who eventually becomes a Dark Angel.
Okay.
That's a different story.
Different story for another time.
Yeah. during the Crusade, as we say, the Knights of Lupus are destroyed. We don't really know how. But the last of the beasts are wiped clean. And the Lion brings peace to the planet, has united the Knightly Orders. Isn't it grand?
As the giant dropships deploy.
Yeah. So finally, the Imperium's Great Crusade arrive on Caliban and reunite the Dark Angels Legion, although they weren't called that to start with their Gene Father.
What was their original name?
Oh, flippin' heck. I can't remember.
We'll come to it later.
Do we?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't think so.
How robust are your show notes?
Yeah, I don't think I looked that far back.
Hang
actually.
On.
Yeah, have a little look. It'll be on Lexicanum.
Okay, go. Carry on.
So eventually the Space Marines arrived at Caliban and they identified the Lion as one of the Emperor's missing sons, the Primarchs. So they were like, oh, this guy's definitely a Primarch. And the Emperor kind of comes down and immediately makes Johnson Commander-in-Chief of the First Legion, now known as the Dark Angels, and we'll get to where that comes from. Luther and other members of the Order are put to the Astartes trials, the Space Marine trials, and the ones that pass are transformed into the Legion's warriors. So as we see in all the other Primarchs, kind of the home world that the Primarch ends up on tends to kind of become part of the Legion. It's not just the Space Marines from Terra that come out with the Emperor, but they kind of gain ranks from the world and the Order, in this case, that the Primarch was raised in and grew up in. Now, the ones young enough underwent the implantation of the Gene Seeds and became fully fledged Space Marines. Ones that were too old kind of went through a process of increasing their physical abilities and they were given power armor and stuff like that, but they were never fully fledged Space Marines.
See, that's cool that they basically turn into, well, scouts.
kind of super soldiers.
Soldiers like yeah. The Imperial Guard. They're always, to me, they always pictured wrong. They are super soldiers.
They're not genetically modified, most of them, though.
No, but they are, they're the best of the best. The
they are the best of the best, yeah. The PDF are the normal humans. So Luther and a few of the other Order are too old to become full Space Marines. Their body would reject the gene seed, etc., etc. So they are just given physical enhancements and power armor and become pretty much Space Marines, but not quite. Maybe has something to do with what happens later, but we're not really sure. But after the Astartes were ready, Johnson publicly renames them from the First Legion. See, it was in my notes. to the Dark Angels. And that's based off an old Calibanite myth.
So that joke.
That's a really hard thing to say. Calibanite is quite a hard word to say, viewers, listeners.
Calibanite. Calibanite.
Yeah, it's quite hard to say. But the myth is...
This is like Dimecarion and Demacarion.
This is a kind of a segment from the old fable, the myth that he kind of takes the name from. It says, "And the angels of darkness descended on pinions of fire and light, the great and terrible dark angels."
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, kind of this awe, but also quite a feared thing. And clearly, Johnson or the Lion had this in his mind when he was building this legion of his own. But Luther, although too old to be a Space Marine, becomes like the Lion's second in command, and they go out on the crusade, to joining the Emperor and to continue that great crusade of building the Imperium. That we don't know today, but would have known today if the heresy didn't happen. Should we talk about the crusade?
Let's do the crusade. So when the Lion first took over as the Primarch of the Dark Angels,
the commander,
he was given the command of the Force Expeditionary Fleet of the Great Crusade. The 4th Expeditionary Fleet, God, it's so hard to say all these long words, were in orbit around the planet Tsurosh. The Tsuroshi had recently expressed their interest in becoming part of the Imperium, as it was going on at the time. There was lots of takeovers, hostile or
yeah, they or kind of voluntary. Turn up, send some political nice guys in, this is why you should join the Imperium, this is why you should take on the Emperor's Imperial Truth, that science is the answer, etc., etc., etc. And some planets went, yeah, sounds great, and joined. Other planets rebelled against it, and there was wars, and eventually got taken over by force, and then they'd put an Imperial governor on and completely changed the planet to be one of the Imperium. The Tsuroshi were looking like they were gonna join, and everything was great, and they were eager, and they liked the idea of science and all of that stuff. But apparently, they secretly worshipped chaotic entities of the warp.
The Malakim.
Yeah, the Malakim, which actually means kings in ancient Hebrew.
Malakim.
Which, yeah. So there's an...
It's kind of like the...
Malakim.
It's kind of like the Vin Diesel movie.
Or Malachim, if you want to pronounce it right, but anyway.
It's kind of like the Vin Diesel movie. Not Pitch Black, the second one, where the
Chronicles of Riddick.
Chronicles of Riddick, where they have the massive towers that come down on planets to convert them into the truth. And then wipe out anyone who decides not to join.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like the Imperium
really
and the Space Marines.
I really want to watch that.
It's a bad movie.
It's got Vin Diesel in it, so it's all right.
It's a bad movie. so they worship these warp entities that were chaotic, as we are led to believe. And it came to light that they saw this atheistic stance of the Emperor's Imperial Truth being about science and religion being bad. Was a way of denying the existence of their gods. So they were really offended by that and secretly planned to kind of rebel against the Imperium that had arrived.
So the Lord High Exactor, the leader of this Tsuroshi bureaucracy, denounced the Lion L. Johnson and the Emperor to their faces aboard the Dark Angels flagship.
Oh my.
Oh my, you diss my family, man?
Can you imagine standing in front of a Primarch and the Emperor?
I denounce you,
Lionel. You're an idiot. Like, are you kidding me? What nuts did this guy have?
I think I'd be really good at the audio dramas.
No.
I think I could do many voices. Like, Imperial Governor, I denounce you. Primarch, no.
Yeah, I think you'd get turned down after that.
No? I'll try. I'll try and go for it. So the... When he denounced the Lionel, the lion pretty much responded by just impaling the sword, his sword, through the Shroshi leader's body.
Yeah, just like stabbed him like skewer, nothing. Yeah,
like a shish.
Yeah.
However, unknown to the Dark Angels, actually, the Shroshi had also brought a nuclear device on board the shuttle, intending to assassinate the fleet's entire command structure, including Johnson.
And the Emperor, I have to admit this. I missed this out on my notes, and I've just realised. It says including Johnson. The Emperor's on the ship too. Kind of maybe a bit more important than the Primarch.
The Emperor shall never die.
Oh, yeah, true. What we discover is that Luther and a junior librarian called Zariel, who's actually the other one, that's what I was saying, he's the guy who killed the other lion.
Okay,
the other
cool.
Calibanite.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah. Managed to eject the shuttle into space, causing only minor damage to the flagship. But after this incident, Luther, Zariel, and 200 other Dark Angels...
Take a small contingent.
Are sent back to Caliban in disgrace for allowing the enemy to get the nuclear device aboard the Primarch's flagship.
That's quite interesting.
This is the point of turning.
Mentor and friend go back to Caliban, you're no longer worthy.
You're no longer worthy to go on this knightly crusade.
It'll be interesting to see if those 200s were the old ones who couldn't be transferred into Space Marines.
It would be. We don't think we'll ever know.
Is it the book?
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't really say who those 200 were. It was just
that would be cool.
That I think they were the guys who were under Luther's kind of command.
Control, yeah.
So they would. Some of them would have been Space Marines. Some of them might have been too old. They probably were highly amount of the Caliban locals, though, because that kind of makes sense, doesn't it, really? Luther was their leader once, so why not again?
He's not sent back in necessarily too much disgrace. They sent it, okay, it's a bit of a slap in the face of a wet fish. Get out, you nearly let the Emperor and myself die. But they were sent back to oversee the recruitment of new Space Marines into the Legion from the Calibanite population. Obviously, it was very shameful and a full-on punishment, which...
Yeah... This is the turning point, isn't it?
It started the evil.
The thing is if you look at the background that we've seen so far, and it really, if you know the story, you know where we're headed. And if you don't, you're probably starting to see it. Luther, this great man of the age, finds a Primarch, looks after him, becomes his friend, lets him become the great man of his age, if he had a probably choice. To be fair, Lion probably just was, like I say, stronger, better, faster, all of that stuff.
He's probably going that way, but the Luther helped him along.
Yeah, completely.
Luther could have easily just stabbed him as a baby.
And let's face it, the lion took Luther on, even though he was too old, and made him his second in command. So they were strong. And here we have a little slip up. A big slip up. But the punishment seems a real kick in the face for a friend. Now, I'm not, it's hard to judge in that situation because it's a big deal. And we don't really know why they were punished particularly.
Well, it's kind of... Part of me goes...
I guess they must
let
have been...
They let a nuke on a ship.
Yeah, but why those 200 rather than any other of the 200? They must have been in charge of that shuttle.
They
or...
could be, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I suppose the background is missing to that. They could have easily been the ones who patted down Shiroshi. They could have been the ones patted down the Shiroshi embassy or
something
like that. So I suppose it's the background that's missing there. First, moving on to the while they're on Caliban when they're back.
Yeah,
there.
Well, I guess the thing you got to keep in your mind is they're from a knightly order that's about going out, slaying great beasts, having great victories, having great tales to share. Similar to the Space Wolves in that way. They're all about their sagas and their great honor. So here you have them being sent back to their homeworld to recruit new. Individuals who cares who wants to babysit.
It's a case of you go, that's just what they give to an old general in the army. Go recruit, you're not wanted on the front lines.
You can't give us anything that's worth anything.
No, so I can imagine that would spark a seed of jealousy within Luther,
and especially as we say, the years pass and Luther's doing this job still faithfully, or so we at least are led to believe. And these, you know, victories of the Lion and the Crusade is on, are coming back to Caliban, and everyone's kind of celebrating. And that's got to knock you down again. You get this sense that this jealousy is kind of eating away inside Luther. He's just getting more and more wound up by all of this. You know, here's the guy that I looked after, and now he's treating me like nothing. And now he's off having adventures, and I've got to look after these children. Like, what the hell did I do to deserve this? This isn't, what's this? You know, I was made for greater. That pride, yeah. You know, really hurt Luther's pride. And yeah, we slowly saw him change from this honourable knight to a man full of jealousy and hatred towards his once friend, the Primarch. You know, he felt that he'd lost his fame and glory, he'd lost his strength, he'd lost what he was called to do, what he was made for, and it was all taken away by who? In his opinion, the Lion.
And at this point, obviously, where anger leads to hate leads to...
fear. It starts with fear.
Fear leads to hate. Hate leads to anger. Anger leads to the want to find a Chaos Law book and take over the world. So the Lion at this point discovered a book of Chaos Law. Luther at this point discovered a book of Chaos Law on Caliban, and that gradually would have caused him to turn from the path of, well... the Imperial Truth,
yeah.
Until he was consumed by the temptation of the ruinous powers, and eventually turned into the Chaos Champion.
Yeah, without anyone really knowing at this point.
It's just like I can only really liken it to Lord of the Rings, the one where the King of Rohan is tainted by the wizard that's there, or the sorcerer that's there.
Yes,
and is in the chair and can't.
Yeah, yeah. So Saruman, to Thor, no, not Thorin. That's Hobbit. flipping heck.
Thorin, no.
No, that's Hobbit. No. Don't you dare look it up. Théoden.
Théoden, yes. Théoden, son of whatever.
Ex-Thelion.
Yeah. You know it's far more than I do.
I do.
But yeah, exactly. The same thing there. He turns to chaos and effectively... starts to denounce what everything that he's been told to.
Yeah, yeah, and starts turning the Dark Angels that are with him, the new recruits, possibly, as well as the guys that probably turned and got this punishment detail with him.
I smell chaos in my room.
Yeah. So, yeah, all this is going on with Luther back home over the years while the Lion's on the Crusade. Then we get the breakout, the heresy, and Horus turning and Primarchs turning and... And we don't really hear too much of what's going on with the Dark Angels, or at least so far in the books. Yeah. I mean, I haven't read them all. Maybe there's more in there. Yeah. I know Gav Thorpe was writing for the Heresy when I saw him at one of the Black Library events.
Ooh, name drop.
I can't remember when it was. Well, I saw he did a... It wasn't like I was sitting around the table with him.
Well, not like I had breakfast with him the other a couple of weeks ago.
That's true. Not true.
It might be true.
It's not true.
Me and Gav. No. It's just like two cross fingers you can't see.
What I'm saying is he was doing a
I call him Gav,
question and answer. Shut up. he was doing a question answer session, and he said that he was writing for the Heresy and doing Dark Angels.
Yeah.
So we might get a bit more light on what they're up to. But as far as I could find, they haven't, you know, we don't know that much of what they're up to until towards the end, which is, to be fair, a big deal of what makes the Dark Angels now in the 41st millennium.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal of what happens here. So we find ourselves where the attack on Terra has happened. It's the end of the Heresy. Horus has fallen. The Chaos guys are running for the hills. But the Emperor's now on the Golden Throne. The Dark Angels don't reach Terra in time to prevent it happening. And Jonson is kind of racked with grief. He feels like it's his fault. If he was there, maybe another... you know, result would have happened. Maybe he could save him. Just really mourning his father's potential death, really.
If Sangrinus couldn't do it, then the Lion definitely couldn't, so...
Well, I think it's more on weight of numbers.
Yeah, yeah. The more Primarchs,
so
the better.
Same with the Space Wolves. They were, you know, gunning to get there. And one of the big reasons why Horus let Sangrinus and the Emperor onto the ship at that time was because they picked out on their long-term scanners the Space Wolves and the Dark Angels arriving.
Yeah.
So they were still far away, but they knew if they didn't act now, by the time they did, they would have been on them and they would have had no hope.
Yeah.
So, you know, he felt guilty for that. And I think they were held up, like the Space Force were, by the Alpha Legion. That was like their role.
What were the Imperial Fists?
They're on Terra. They were defending Terra, weren't they?
Staying on the homeworld.
Well, yeah, Dawn's fighting like Mortarion and Perturabo. And
man, like, your knowledge on this is so vast.
Yeah, I do a lot of reading.
Nerd.
All right, whatever. But yeah, so Johnson goes back to Caliban, kind of thwart, and what are we going to do? I need to recover. What are we going to do as the Legion? What's going to happen to the Imperium? And he gets into orbit, and he's shot at.
Makes complete sense. I'd shoot him.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is Luther.
Yeah. So they're in that orbit above Caliban, and the betrayal by Luther is suddenly revealed. You know, he's consumed by the lure of chaos. He's revealed where his true allegiance now lies, and fires upon the ships in orbit.
Let's face it. Caliban, a homeworld of a legion, is not going to be lightly defended. You're talking massive cannons. So being shot at by your own homeworld must be pretty devastating.
Yeah.
You just stick the reverse lights on and just move back a little bit.
That's exactly what he did. They pulled back, trying to find out what was happening. And he learned from a merchant ship that got off the world that Luther had kind of poisoned the minds of the Space Marine garrison on the world, taken control, and was now serving chaos.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Great. So Johnson is furious at
absolutely.
This. You know, here's this guy who he knew, he trusted, you know, and although he punished for the problems that happened with the Soroshi, never expected him to fully turn, especially to chaos.
Yeah.
And let's face it, he's returning from the shock and trauma of losing his father, at least how he remembers him, to chaos.
Yeah.
Like, he must be flipping livid.
Yeah.
So he's livid. So he lets loose this massive orbital bombardment from all his ships on his own planet, just smashing it and smashing it and smashing it, trying to destroy all of the defensive cannons so that they can make planetfall.
Yep.
And what we read is that the planet burned and its defenses were whittled down to nothing. And Johnson led his forces personally against the defenders who took refuge in the Fortress Monastery.
I could always imagine it like, what's that scene where they've got the fire in front of them, and as you see it, you see the lion walk across with his sword over one shoulder, just striding through the fire, just flanked by loads of Space Marines with bolt guns going and just gunning towards the monastery. Just that epic montage scene.
It would be, if it was in a film, it would be kind of quite
epic. Just need to direct these movies and it'll be fine. But it was always, so as you saw that the lion was walking through to the Order's Fortress Monastery, Johnson found that Luther... Johnson found Luther and saw him to be just completely gone, like chaos ridden, talking like warts and all, probably growing a few horns out of a few places he shouldn't be, and nothing of his old friend survived.
Here's this dude who he knew and cared for, and
it's like your brother. You get back and your brother's mysteriously got a horn.
I mean, to be fair, this really emulates everything that was happening on Horus's ship, you know, the Horus and the Emperor. You know, the Emperor sees his son completely corrupted, but yet feels some kind of, like, he's conflicted. He knows that he needs to destroy something he loves.
The Horus model one that Forge World do, is that corrupted?
No, they're going to do a second one. When they brought this one out so that you
this
could...
This is the good one.
No, he's still turned, but it's like the beginning.
Yeah.
So he's only just turned and started to recover that power.
I can't wait to see the fat, bloated...
It'll be... Well, I don't know if he was bloated particularly.
Almost nearly...
It's just going to be a pretty... I think they're just going to make him look more eerie. His face will be twisted. He'll have probably chaos signs carved into his armour.
Yeah.
I don't think he will be... He never became like a demon prince like we know them model-wise. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
So what do you reckon Luther looked like as a Chaos Champion?
I reckon he did probably look a bit more like a Demon Prince that we have, you know, maybe a couple of horns, really distended, huge body. I mean, it says that his strength was equal to that of the Primarch.
Right, so to do that, you must be pretty
tainted. He's not even a Space Marine.
Yeah.
So he's got to be bloody grown, he's huge, he's the size of a Primarch, probably, you know, can match strength for strength. And the two met in combat, you know, of likes that you would never see again. So this is, you know, this is a battle. This is Primarch versus Primarch, basically.
Yeah.
Which, you know, this is the end of the heresy. There was no other Primarch versus Primarchs at this point.
Yeah. So as they were fighting
as you imagine, it wasn't just a small little arm wrestle. It was a complete level of the monastery around them.
Smashing into walls and going through windows and smashing down doors and everything
even
in between.
Even so much as to say the planet was starting to take a bit of a beating from the heavy toll. Obviously, the bombardment started to crack the surface of the planet and the Dark Angels in orbit were unable to see the damage that they were doing. So if you imagine a world being bombed, like from, you're not talking like just a little mortar being fired over the lines of an enemy. You're talking like a full on cannon the size of a house. Shells being fired into the planet. That's going to mess the planet. It ain't going to be just like surface damage. This is going to be deep surface volcano damage.
And this is where the fury of the Lion and his legion, his loyal legion, who are coming back from fighting Chaos and in the Heresy, fighting brothers who they never thought they'd fight, come back and find the same fight on their own planet. Like, I imagine just emotions got too much, and it's like, not that they couldn't necessarily see what they were doing, but they just weren't thinking.
Blinded by the hate,
you know, and just need to destroy this. We can't have this anymore.
Burn it with fire.
Yeah. So this all kind of happens. They fight and fight and fight, and eventually the Lion gets hit with this kind of psychic energy that comes out of Luther. I haven't actually got it written in my notes, but Zariel, the guy who sent back that young junior librarian, actually picks up that Luther's got a latent psyker about him, which we think is a gift from Chaos.
Right.
And he then teaches him how to kind of use the warp.
Yeah.
Like, almost starts training his mentor.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool. And we don't really know what else has happens to him. I think he's one of the Fallen that's whisked off, you know, and is still being hunted today.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's skipping ahead. But yeah, so Luther lets off this psychic bolt of energy, and it basically knocks the Lion down. Is you know, really there for the taking.
To be fair, Luther beat the crap out of the Lion, and like pretty much killed him.
Yeah.
It doesn't use the words in the text, killed him. However, he got to the floor.
He was mortally wounded.
And he couldn't get up again.
Yeah.
And Luther, at that point, realizes what happens. The veil of deceit, as it's described, is lifted from his eyes.
Yeah.
And he fell to the floor, unwilling to fight anymore. But it's a little bit too late. He's just mortally wounded his Primarch, his leader, his effectively friend.
So many different things.
Everything. He wounded him, and that's got to take a massive toll. So.
Yeah.
But the one thing we shouldn't necessarily ignore here is Chaos won again.
Well, the thing is that they won but didn't get the outcome they wanted. You know? What they wanted is a fallen legion that would unite around Luther and then go on another crusade.
Yeah.
But they didn't get that. Luther snaps out of it and realizes what he's done. And although it's too late to come back from anywhere, he's damned. You know, he's fought a Primarch. He's gone against the Emperor. He's fallen.
And I suppose at this point, when the Chaos Overlords realize that they're not going to get this, they just start sending a massive warp rift. And you're talking Pompeii kind of explosion wise.
Yeah.
Just like ripping this planet apart. And then as the planet sort of like broke apart underneath the strain and everything was destroyed, apart from this monastery, which seems to survive, which meant that the Order was protected by the potent defensive force fields, the Dark Angels descended into what remains of the of Caliban itself, little more than the asteroid upon where stood the Order's fortress monastery.
And that's how it is today.
They searched for the ruins and found Luther mumbling that Johnson had been taken by the Watchers in the dark and would return one day and forgive Luther for his sins. Apparently, like, there's always this story about how the Primarch is still alive, but they're taking a chaos.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that. We've got a section on what happened to the Lion.
All right, cool.
But, I mean, Watchers of the Dark, for those that don't know, are kind of like these small robed creatures that
Gretchen.
They're kind of Gretchen size, I guess.
They're Gretchen. You never see their face.
Well, that doesn't mean they're Gretchen, does
Whoa.
It? Shush. But they're you know, some weird kind of holy order that's always kind of been around the Dark Angels, and no one really knows what they are, but they're extremely powerful. We do know they're quite extremely powerful, and they're kind of almost, oh, I don't want to go near them in case they kill me.
Little things that carry the sword for.
Yeah.
So they're basically,
they like choose to be servants, but are like severely powerful beings.
What are they called? The guys that carry stuff to the top of mountains for people.
Sherpas?
Yeah, they're basically like New Age Sherpas.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, so that Luther says that, you know, that Johnson's been taken off by the Watchers in the Dark somewhere and will return one day to forgive Luther for his sins. The Dark Angels look for their Primarch, can't find any trace of him, have no idea what happened. And the ones that were following Luther, that were still alive, the fallen angels, as they are now thought of, are sucked into the warp and scattered across the galaxy. Again, representing that first scattering of the Primarchs.
Yeah.
You know, just scattered across the galaxy to kind of carry on worshipping chaos and causing problems and everything like that. The plan of chaos, you know, is always continuing. And this is where we kind of get to the Dark Angels and why they're known as such a secretive chapter.
Yeah.
You know, what happens on Caliban is only known by the Dark Angels. Yeah, they know there was a massive warp storm and the planet was ripped apart and they lost a lot of their brethren. Like, all the Space Marine legions and chapters know that. And they know somewhere in that the lion disappeared.
Yeah.
But they all think that the lion's died and gone. But the Dark Angels know. It's passed down. And, you know, now in the they know that their brothers turned to chaos. And it's their duty to hunt down the fallen angels before anyone else finds out and eliminate them to restore their honor.
Doesn't the Primarch, not the Primarch, the Chapter Master of the Dark Angels, doesn't he get shown the Primarch?
No.
Is that something else? I swear.
Yeah. That does. There is something like that. So basically, Luther is still alive.
Okay.
Guaranteed. In a cell. He's kept in stasis. And awoken every time there's a new Grand Master.
Okay.
Because the Dark Angels have a secret set of rings, almost. So when you're a Space Marine, you know a little bit. When you're a veteran, you know a bit more. When you're part of the Death Wing, you know a bit more. When you're a chapter captain, you know a bit more. When you're the Chapter Master, you'll reveal that Luther is still alive. You know the story.
Yeah.
But Luther's still alive. And his first act is to try and get Luther to share where the Primarch is.
Yeah, he tortures him.
Tortures him to try and get him to resolve his sins, tell him what the Primarch is, try and get information out of him that's new. That's like the first act of the Grandmaster.
That must suck, because constant torture every time he's woken up.
Yeah. But, so Luther's going through quite a lot for his sins. So we hear about this psychic blow that happens to the lion and left him mortally wounded. And He's actually pulled into like a raging warp vortex.
Okay.
Yeah, this is what we find out when we do a bit of reading. We actually find out that he's pulled into this raging warp vortex. And we don't really know where it comes from. It's kind of at the time when all the other fallen angels are being pulled off the planet. And the chaos warped storms are ripping apart the planet. Before it becomes just the asteroid with the Fortress Monastery.
Okay.
It's about that time. And then eventually what happens is he reappears.
Right.
That he basically reappears and is taken to an unreachable chamber deep in the heart of the rock. The rock is what they called their Fortress Monastery after it became an asteroid.
Okay.
So the lion disappears. They take Luther, put him in prison and everything. And then the lion reappears. He's placed in this unreachable cell by the Watchers of the Dark, so we're told, and not even the Supreme Grand Master knows that the lion's there. There's a hint, and there's a legend that the lion will return at the end of times, and similar to Russ has the same thing. Lots of the Primarchs they will return at the end of times, and
mine doesn't.
The last battles. Yours is definitely dead. Well, be fair. Dies in an awesome, epic glory.
It's definitely gone.
But he is gone.
Oh, well. I have the Sanguinaut. I actually have a part of my Primarch.
but and the secret is only apparently known by the Emperor himself. Now, I don't know how the Emperor knows this.
Well, even though the Emperor's dead.
Well, living death. He's in a chair. But he still sees all upon the golden throne. That's the
Reed Mechanicum.
The stuff behind it. You know, he sees everything. So he knows where he is. And it's a secret that even the Dark Angels don't know of, only the Watchers, who we don't even know what the Watchers are. It's really weird, like all these secrets.
I fully want one to, like, at the end of a movie, walk up to the camera, take his hood off, and it's a Gretchen.
Yeah.
Hood back, done.
Yeah. But yeah, some amongst the Dark Angels whisper one day that the Lion will return to lead one final crusade, as we said, right at the end of times, you know, pushing forward the greatest victory, bring justice and redemption to all those who are fallen angels. You know, he will forgive Luther for his sins and then execute him, because that's actually forgiveness in the Dark Angel's mind. And because that's what they do with the fallen angels when they find him now. They find the fallen angels, capture them, take them back to Caliban, torture them until they say, we're sorry, and then they kill them. They won't kill them until they apologize. Really interesting.
It's like extreme parenting.
Yeah, it's really odd. Really odd. But yeah, that's the Dark Angels' deep secret. You know, they've got secrets upon secrets upon secrets, and that's why they're not trusted very much. That's why they're not liked very much by other chapters.
Wow. That's not their only reason. They wear dresses a lot.
Yeah, robes. Monks. Monks in space.
Monks in space. Transgenders in
Nightly
space.
Monks.
Nightly monks.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we kind of get all of this stuff, all these legends, the Lion will return, but none actually know the truth of it. That actually, the Lion is alive and sleeps in stasis. Clearly, he's going to have to be, isn't he? In the heart of the Fortress Monastery. So the Lion is actually a guaranteed alive Primarch.
Yeah.
She's quite crazy. So
how do they get a guaranteed alive Primarch, but mine sacrifices his life?
Well, let's face it. He's alive.
But he's not. It's like Bjorn is alive, but he's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because Gulliman is in stasis. Traitor. with his neck sliced by Alpharius.
Good.
And there's legends that it's healing, but it's only legends and it's not really happening. If he was brought out of stasis, he would die from bleeding out from his throat being cut.
Yeah.
Like, they basically froze him there and then because he was about to die.
Yeah.
So he is gone, you know?
Well, they do get a tape measure out each year and just measure it from behind the glass.
No idea.
Ooh, it's gone 1 centimetre.
I don't know. But they're saying it's healing and he's going to come back, blah, blah, blah. Who cares, particularly?
He's a Smurf. It's
but but the Lion is, you know, he was psychically mortally wounded and then he's picked up out of this warp vortex and somehow dropped back onto Caliban. Like, we have no idea what damage he's gone through, even if he's, you know, he could be completely brain dead. That psychic, you know, we don't know what that psychic attack's done, but we do know that he's not perished in the sense of Ferris Manus getting his head cut off, you know, or Sanguinus dying to Horus, you know. He's got a heart that's beating, but there's clearly a reason why he can't walk about.
Yeah.
Now, the legend says it's because of the time, but let's face it, if you could walk about, you'd get up and go and have a walk around.
Yeah.
You're not going to just sit in a room for millennia going, oh, no, it's not my time yet.
I'm just going to wait.
There's something more going on that we don't know, but it is very interesting that here's a Primarch that we know is definitely there, whereas all the others are kind of only legends and whispers. But yeah, that's kind of Lionel Johnson from beginning to end, I guess, up to today. Hope you found that interesting. It was very hard covering a Primarch.
Yeah.
They're so rich, they're so iconic, and you always feel like you're never going to do them justice. I remember there being lots of people talking about that when the Forge World Horus Heresy stuff started coming out.
Yeah.
They were like, oh no, they're going to give rules to the Primarchs, because the Primarchs are the heroes of heroes, even in our memories and in our minds from the stories. And you know, they're just pictured. I remember when the Vulcan model for the Salamanders came out, and lots of Salamanders guys were going, oh, that's not how I picture him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the model's amazing and Forge World do an amazing job with all the Primarchs, but you're always going to have your own twist on it.
No, you're always going to have your own opinion on how he should look.
So doing a section about a Primarch and the background and the story of that legion and all of that stuff is quite a big deal. So hopefully you found that interesting. If you loved it and want to see another Primarch, let us know what won. Go to our Facebook page and message us, comment, like, all that stuff. You would have heard the advert, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Or in a second.
Yeah, depends on where I fit.
But, you know, let us know what you thought about this segment. We're always trying new things in the 40K Spotlight. We've done units, planets, stories, characters, and now Primarch. So, yeah, let us know. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a break and come back with our last segment.
Here endeth the lesson.
Hey guys, Matt from the Adeptus Terra podcast here. Just want to take this moment and advertise our Facebook page with you. If you want to get involved and share your thoughts and your feelings about this podcast, about what you'd like to see, or even share some of the stuff you're up to, we love seeing your hobby progress. Go to www.facebook.com/theAdeptusTerra podcast and we'll see you there. So welcome back. This is our last segment of the show, Life in the Hobby. And this episode, we're talking about the online community of 40K. So all things that you can do and get involved in online around 40K. Kind of says
quite
everything.
Quite a self-explanatory title there, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I just felt the need to explain it for some reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we're going to chat about all sorts of different things online that you can get involved in, that you can be part of, that I think is really cool. There's some dangers to that we'll probably talk about as well. But I think it's an amazing resource that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, let's start with podcasts themselves. So before we started this show, I started listening to the ICs, the Overlords, found out that they had a Facebook page, went and followed them, got to kind of see what they were saying and what they were doing in between shows, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to do and be involved in this podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's the community aspect that you get from the okay, you listen to this content all the time, and we're lucky in the fact that we live 20 minutes from the Overlords, or 20, 30, 40 minutes from the Overlords.
Yeah.
So we have that ability to go and join those events and be part of their group and part of the podcast.
Yeah.
I think that's a good resource. However, those that live in, say, America, or I think we've had listeners in Tokyo and...
Yeah, Australia as
Australia
well.
Australia as well.
Love you guys. Good day.
Hey, good day. Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, God. I kind of want you to cut that, but I kind of want that to stay. I think they'll end up liking me more.
Okay, so we have, obviously, if we ever ran an event here, we wouldn't be able to, people from Australia necessarily wouldn't be able to partake in that. However, we can post that event on our Facebook page. And I think that's where it's key, is the fact that,
yeah,
that our Facebook page, our social media can connect the listeners or potential listeners of our podcast, of other podcasts, that is their home. That's the base of how they can put out their support information. If you look at the 11th Company, a lot of their stuff is before they record or while they record on their Facebook page. They put "recording now. Ask Felipe any questions."
And that's pretty cool.
And they do it live, and as questions come in, they record them and go, okay, this person's asked this question.
That's really cool.
So that's really awesome, because they integrate their podcast with the listeners, and it makes it kind of more like a radio show,
yeah,
rather than just a podcast.
Just two guys chatting in a room, a load of nonsense.
And it's quite cold in here.
It is quite cold in here. But yeah, I mean, podcasts can use social media, can use their forums, can use lots of different things that come under our other headings to get feedback, to keep in contact with their listeners,
yeah,
to keep people interested, use it to organise events, like you said,
yeah,
do research as well. You know, like a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about in our previous subject came from Warhammer Wiki pages and Lexicanum pages, as well, yeah, as well as the Black Library books. And before all of those pages existed, you could only ever get it from the books, from the codexes. Now you've got access even easier and more.
Yeah.
It's kind of all compiled together for you. For people like us to hopefully share it with you and teach you something new.
Yeah.
So the internet's an amazing resource for us as podcasters.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of social media based stuff are you involved in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's load of Facebook pages out there, you know. There's
40K for grown ups.
Yeah, 40K for grown ups is a really good one. Kind of people just putting up their own content, their own stuff that they're doing, asking questions. You know, fluff questions, rules questions, here's a model I painted yesterday, picture, like anything.
Yeah.
It's just an area for grown-ups to post their 40K love.
Yeah, I think certainly with that particular group, 40K for grown-ups, I think there's always every time there's an argument, the answer comes and goes, oh, I thought this was a page for grown-ups and not children.
Yeah.
And I think they leave themselves open to that with that name. However, look at proxies. 40K proxies page, where it's basically people using models converting,
yeah,
World War II tanks for Grot vehicles or for Orc vehicles. Fantastic ability to necessarily show stuff, such as show stuff, which is on a platform which necessarily I wouldn't be able to see. I wouldn't be able to, yeah, unless they put it on a forum.
Well, unless you knew about it as well.
And unlike you, like, I'm not a forum troll, so I won't go around and look at all like the bowls.
Yeah, the blogs.
Yeah, I don't do that. So having a central Facebook page that comes up and shows me that stuff is much more convenient for me. However, not necessarily for you. You don't really do a day job, so it means you can do it all day.
yeah. Well, I have a bit of flexibility in my job, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's the more political
that's
answer.
That's the more political. No, I'm joking, man. Of course you work. You set up a skate park.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, I mean, there's so many pages on social media, isn't there? There's painting commission pages, like Dave Paints. That's a really cool one. His stuff's really cool. There's different groups. So we've got one for our local gaming club.
Yeah.
The Overlords have a closed one for their gaming club, which we're part of as well.
Yeah.
Which we don't get to go over too often, but we'd love to be there more.
Yeah.
And are glad to be part of it.
We recently were speaking to a guy from Basildon.
War Boys
group, which
he
invited us over to their club, and it's so local to us, and they've got a Facebook page, and actually it's quite active considering it's quite a small community so far. I'm part of it, and there's always updates every day, and I think the guy's running it, the name completely slips on mine.
Sorry man
but it, like I'm seeing, like, he's posting loads like videos and updates to the page, and it's really cool because he really wants obviously the Basildon club to happen, and that's really, really cool to see, and he's using social media to push that.
That's great.
We've spoken to people who run podcasts before who said if you can get away without having forums, don't have forums, because they're so difficult to administrate. Look at the issues that Carl had from the independent characters when they went close to their limit on their forums.
They had so many issues
So I necessarily don't think forums are necessarily a good thing for podcasts.
I think they're great if you've got such a huge, like something like the ISCs was so huge. I think social media kind of isn't enough for that. Like, you have 10 comments and then that comment that is lost and not seen by everyone. And there's, you know, lots of things like that. But for just getting a random bit of information, getting a bit of inspiration, getting a bit of contact, social media is amazing for that. I mean, you've got clubs, which, you know, like we just said, the Basildon War Boys, and we have one for our own club that we run at Legacy, called the Legacy 40K Bunker, which is for like kids to get into the hobby. We have a social media page just to let them know if it's on, if it's off, if we're doing a certain game type, if we're doing a certain painting evening, whatever. We'll post up there and inform people. We use it as an information page. You've got individuals, you know, I've had really good conversations with Carl, from the ICs. I've had great conversations with other people from other podcasts because of social media. You know, that's the only way we've connected. That's the only way we've been able to chat. And I've seen them on clubs, on pages, you know, commenting, and I've commented back, and then we've added each other, and now we chat as individuals, which is really cool. It's like a new type of friendship kind of coming out of social media, which is, you know, never existed before. It's a great way of getting advice. It's a great way of asking questions. And what are you doing, by the way?
I found his name. It's Chris.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to find.
Cool.
Chris of Basildon.
Very distracting. You're just sitting on your phone.
No, I was trying to find his name because I hate it. We have so many people talk to us through the Facebook page and comment, which is fantastic. And it's great.
I want more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you've got, it's Paul, isn't it?
Yeah,
the port is constantly posting photos of his
stuff.
So good, so cool, and I am so poor with names anyway.
Yeah.
And I can't remember basic facts about my own army. Like, many times I have to look at what AP a bolt gun is. It's ridiculous. So obviously, I'm really sorry, but the guy's name is Chris.
Oh, awesome.
I just want to get that out there. Then.
Cool, it's there.
It's there. Sorry,
but as I was saying, social media kind of great place to get advice, ask questions.
The main thing of me is I ask questions about modeling.
Yeah.
So mine is purely like a, what was the latest one I asked? Probably really stupid. Who won? My last one, which was my favorite, and I got like 300 comments on it, was who won the Heresy, Chaos or Imperium? And it just went.
And people just took that way too seriously. So I know, the thing is they don't know you. I know that you did that just to wind people up and start some kind of argument.
I was sat in my car on the A127 in a traffic jam, and I was actually thinking about the podcast. So it's a legitimate question. And we were talking about the Dark Angels, so I was thinking about that. And I was like, in the Heresy, obviously, who actually won?
Who actually won? Who counts as winning?
All right, because Horus died, the Emperor's in a chair,
Sanguinius died, which is the most important thing in the world. So who won? Who actually won?
No one.
And that's the thing. It comes out that the Imperium was thrown into the dark age of technology.
And struggling to survive.
And with all the warp storms that were going on, couldn't help their outlying planets. Yeah. The Chaos was beaten into submission by their crusade that they wanted to happen and to take over the universe. So who actually won?
The Tyranids.
No, they didn't. Comments on our Facebook page. Come and like it. The Tyranids. Terror podcast.
The Tyranids won, and the Orcs won, and the Elder won. Every race that isn't part of the Imperium or Chaos won.
Why, though?
Because both were crippled.
Yes, but...
So the two largest forces in the universe at the time were completely crippled, thus giving space for Tau to expand.
So you're saying that...
For example, for Orcs to expand unimpeded.
That as the British Empire crippled and shrunk... Every other country won.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, other than that, the negative side of the social media pages.
Yeah, I guess, I shared it as a pain. People can get a bit on their high horse and go fanboy crazy.
People can ask stupid questions like me.
People can ask stupid questions and cause problems. one of the things I kind of find a little bit irritating, I can't help it, is when people post pictures up and go, oh, this is my first painted model like that I've done in ages. You know, tell me what you think. You know, love me, love me, love me. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just the pessimist in me says, you're putting that to get, oh no, it's really great, because you're worried that it's not that great. You know?
Or they could be looking for constructive feedback on how to improve their painting.
Yeah, they could, but there's so many of them.
I posted my first Ogryn.
Yeah.
And that was the first Ogryn I've done. I'm not so used to doing flesh colours. Is there any advice you can give me?
Yeah, but that actually had a question rather than, this is the first model I've painted in ages. What do you think?
Well, the Ogryn was completely great. It was a fantastic model. So I don't know. Criticism anyone could give me.
Yeah, definitely. Some people are definitely doing it because they just want to share where they're at in the hobby.
Yeah.
And I get that. But some people, it just feels like they're doing it to get a bit more attention.
Okay.
And the negative part of that is when someone posts something and says, oh, I've tried really hard on flesh tones.
Yeah.
What do you think? Can you give me any advice?
Yeah.
And people post horrible crap.
Although, flip side of that, the one that I always see comes up is, I've got these models, I want to strip them, how do I do it?
Yeah.
And then as soon as someone put that question, there's just a bombardment of crap from people saying, you should know this, it's always coming up, it's always... Actually, if I was a first-time person commenting on the podcast, and necessarily, not the podcast, that's us, commenting on the page, and actually didn't know how to do that, and I hadn't been on the page for very long, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go and ask the community.
And you're not going to scroll down every single post, are you?
So I'm going to go ask my community, the people who I know are in this hobby, who have got far greater skill, because they've been doing it longer, how to do this, and I get that response. What kind of level of... I'm never going back to ask a question. I'm going to be too afraid to go and ask a question. Not necessarily me, because I'm thick-skinned and don't really give a crap what anyone says. But that's not necessarily positive thing for anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I understand people's frustration to always see the same question.
It's easy to hide behind a keyboard.
Keyboard warriors.
That's the thing.
See it that way.
Yeah, yeah. People are just keyboard warriors and they kick off and it's sometimes a bit nasty, but there's so much good that it's almost worth it, you know? Like, cool, you're going to be an idiot to me today, but tomorrow I'm going to find out how to strip that model from a decent guy.
Yep.
I'm going to see a picture of a model that is so amazingly painted, it makes me want to paint.
Yeah.
Or get a bit of info or advice from someone who's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, all those things completely outweigh the idiot who's just going to go, oh, I think this is... Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Like, whatever. They need a life and just get on with it.
And the forums, that's what I use the forums for. It's purely I enjoy this hobby. And we were talking about it. Before we started joining these groups on Facebook, it was I want to submerse myself in more hobby.
Yeah.
And to do that, I've got to join these groups to have people post photos of their models, however poorly or greatly posted they are. I love the fact that I can see Paul's Dark Angels progressing forwards through the fact that he's come up with the idea about using.
You feel like you're part of him.
Exactly.
Like, we've never met Paul, and he seems like an awesome guy, and I'd love to meet him at some point whenever that may happen.
Not in a creepy way, that's more of a...
It'd be cool to hang out and have a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's over 18. I think he is.
I think he's over 18. So, but that's the thing. And it becomes I feel connected to his hobby because he shared that with us. And that's why I have the pages still.
Yeah.
Because it means that I can... Necessarily, I'm rubbish at continually painting and building. And I'll go months like you've seen, surely, in other episodes where I won't do anything like that.
Yeah.
And
the stuff that keeps me going on the podcast, the stuff that keeps me going on the hobby, is the fact that I can see these models, which is why I use the social media. But I suppose we're getting a bit more on a high horse box.
So yeah, let's keep going. So, YouTube channels.
YouTube channels, fantastic. I love watching bat reps. Not necessarily the ones which are like 5 hours long of an actual game. More of like the summary ones.
The 15-20 minute ones.
So Strike and Scorpion. All right, they're about 45 minutes long.
No, they're like an hour and a half.
Nah, 45 minutes.
No, I guarantee you, I outweigh you in this by all the way.
Do you know why you outweigh me in this?
Because I'm addicted to this stuff. Yeah? You may love them, but I really love them.
You live them.
I live them, yeah.
When are we going to do a channel? No. We should do our own channel.
No.
We should do our own channel.
This is enough.
You could do a channel.
No.
You know you want to.
No, I'd have to have stuff painted all the time.
That could be a good thing for you.
Yeah, it would, but no.
So what do you like about channels then?
I mean, battle reports is the big thing for
me. Love them.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely love them. I like to see the army list people are doing. I like to see the scenarios. It gives me ideas for missions. Gives me inspiration to get my own stuff painted. Again, yeah. Seeing good models. Striking Scorpion is clearly, you know, the top level.
Absolutely.
There's loads of others out there. Xenovids, they're quite cool guys. There's a guy called Winters, SEO.
Yeah.
His battle reports are really cool. They're, you know, similar to kind of Striking Scorpion, a little bit different in his own style. He's really cool. There's loads out there. You just have to kind of type in 40k bat rep and go looking.
Yeah.
And depending on what you like.
You get some right chaff, though.
Oh, yeah. There is some,
so much rubbish on there.
You learn quickly what ones you like and what ones you don't.
Yeah. So I know that when I watch a Striking Scorpion video, you get the quality of good sound.
Get a cup of tea, put your feet up, and have fun.
Yeah, exactly. but when you could go through others, like, and don't get me wrong, homemade bat reps, cool, awesome, everyone starts somewhere. Like, I'm sure if I look back far enough, Striking Scorpion's videos won't always be that quality,
yeah,
but I like a video that I can put on my TV in HD and watch it, and it looks like I'm watching a TV program.
I think the thing for me is I like them to be inspirational. So if it's a at home thing that the models are half painted, the scenery's a bit of like decent scenery, like a GW kit, but the next building is actually just a pile of books or something, you know, because that's all they've got. Great, I'm loving the fact they're playing, but that's not interesting me in watching it I'm past that level.
Yeah,
I want the level above me. Yeah. And I think that's the same for the social media stuff. I like seeing things that make me want to push my own hobby.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about battle reports.
So have you used YouTube for painting? Tutorials,
because
Imperial Fist Ben has his Imperial Fist painted using a tutorial.
Yes, he's using the Striking Scorpion tutorial,
so
which is quite good. But I've used it to learn how to use. You know, we did the review of the newish GW paints.
The newish, yes.
You know, the Blood for the Blood God and Agrath Earthshade.
GW produce videos, don't they?
Yeah. And they're actually really good
for once.
So I used all of those on how to use those paints. And I found them really, really useful.
Is it just a GW?
They're the only ones I've ever used.
Right.
To be fair, though, the reason for that is because I've watched battle reports where they've honed in on a model and kind of gone, oh, this is the conversion, this is how I did it, this is how I painted it.
Yeah.
And hearing it is enough. I don't necessarily need to see it.
Yeah. Because Imperial Fist Bed came around and was painting,
he was
actually watching the videos it went through, and I was like, dude, just write it down. Like, just write down the steps. You don't need to watch the video the entire time. But I suppose if that works, that works for him. I couldn't sit there and have it on and play. Right, cool, pause, play, and pause.
I think I'd find that useful for the first 4 or 5, even a full squad, 10 men.
Yeah.
And then by then, you've watched it 10 times. It's going to be so solid in your head, you wouldn't even need it write down. You just do it. I guess I've never really used it for painting. Hobby channels. I know they're there. The water effect I've got for my board that I haven't done yet.
Oh, man, you had that pot for
I know. It's still okay, though. I checked. It's not dried up.
So that video isn't aimed at 40K. That's a purely scenic scene video.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily use
that. By Woodland Scenics. That's
good. So I wouldn't necessarily use that because it's not 40K related. All my stuff that I use generally is 40K products.
Yeah.
Or Games Workshop products.
So. Yeah.
So I would try and stick to people. So when I've looked for how to paint rust on my tanks, and they go, oh, well, I went and got this paint from Vallejo, I would go, all right, no, gone. I'm not going to go buy a new paint to do this technique.
Yeah, okay.
I have these.
So yeah. I necessarily wouldn't use them. However, I see their value.
Yeah, well, they're there to get inspiration and get tips like anything else. I've seen list building videos. I don't particularly like them because it's kind of like, this is how you build a list. No. No one can really tell you how to build a list.
No. Or we are in a couple of weeks.
Well, we're talking about how we build lists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why we build them in that way.
Yeah, where but these are, we're you very, should build a list yeah, this way. You should do this.
This is how you win with this army. Yeah, a lot of them, like not all of them, but the ones I've seen have been that way, so I don't particularly look at them.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of videos that are teaching you how to play.
Yeah.
They've been quite interesting and cool because they literally do teach you how to play the game. And
which is cool.
If you've not got friends around you to teach you, like we had when we started and now what we do for some of our friends.
Yeah, most of our friends.
Yeah. you know, that's a really good way of learning the game. So then when you do get into a club or build up that confidence or find some friends who are into it, you have already made a few steps towards you've being able to play level. A good game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see a real good use out of those on YouTube as well.
So what websites do you use?
Websites. Okay. Well,
I've never heard of 1D4chan.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never heard of it before.
It's like one of the most famous 40K websites ever.
Is it a blog?
No.
Okay. It's, no, I've
it's,
never heard
it's
of it.
It's basically a website where, well, I mean, it's 40K is on it. It does a lot of other things.
Yeah, yeah.
But 40K is on it. And it's basically where people post up information, so fluff, background, rules, tactics,
right. Okay.
Color schemes, everything on an army. So you could go 1D4chan in the search bar, put Blood Angels,
yeah.
And a big page would come up about Blood Angels. You'd have a whole section on Sanguinius. Right. But because it's people have written it,
yeah.
It's more like a chat.
Okay.
So it's like never take... this is, you know, or always take the quickening because it's badass.
Okay.
You know, because it's written that way rather than always take quickening because it's, you know, 5 out of 6 time probability.
Okay.
So it's a bit more chilled out. It's a lot of people don't like 1D4chan for that stuff.
Okay.
It makes certain comments and certain assumptions because it's written by someone.
Yeah. You know? It's like what Wikipedia used to be updated by people rather than administrators. So it used to be, you can never really trust it as a forum.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bit like that.
Cool. The ones I use are like Lexicanum and Warhammer Wiki.
Yeah.
Like Lexicanum is, if ever I'm going to go and research a new race or something like part of the heresy I didn't know, I would go to Lexicanum. I trust them as much as I would reading a Black Library book.
Yeah.
And I know that's a danger because, again, it's a user-edited forum. It's a administrator-edited one, so it's not like anyone can go in up and update it. So they're pretty solid, and generally everything is cited within a book.
Yeah.
So it's pretty... I like them. They're pretty good.
Pretty legit.
Yeah, pretty legit. Another one I don't use is Better Lost Souls.
Yeah, Better Lost Souls is cool to kind of get your news and a couple of cool... Yeah, every now and again they post a fun article. I remember kind of robbing one of theirs and slightly changing it for our Facebook page,
right?
About the kind of that your A team of the 41st millennium kind of stuff. And they post stuff like that. They post rules reviews, things like that. They're American and very much based on the competitive scene.
Okay, yeah,
is my feel. So not necessarily my cup of tea, but every now and again. There's a really good article that I enjoy, so I always go over and see what's on there. What else is there? I mean, there's member sites, so Mini Wargaming spins to mind. Like, again, great battle reports.
I never really get on with them.
So it depends. Depends on who it is.
Okay, so I've watched are very, they're too. Look at the drama.
Yeah,
that style of Easy Extenders, but 40K, and it's just not my style. Like, I like to. I like the more Strike and Scorpion style.
Yeah, a bit more chill
personally,
and calm.
But they both have merit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the fun of them. And they have really amazing painting tutorial videos. And they have a member site so you can pay and get access to more videos if you want.
Yeah.
But you can get stuff on there for free as well. So that's really cool. So I quite like going to them. That's kind of a bit of everything, that page.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, stores. You know, let's talk about stores for a quick second. How easy is it now to buy things online?
Absolutely.
You know, Amazon, you can buy Warhammer from Amazon.
So I bought all 5 of my books from Amazon.
Yeah.
They came next day.
Yeah. You know, like...
All right, the now, hobby stuff, like, I looked at the Grey Knight Terminators on there, and they're all well expensive.
Yes.
Like 30 quid for a box.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. There's nothing like going to your local store, one, supporting your local store,
yeah,
you know, even if you don't play in there. And there's a big thing to talk about that. But the fact that there are online stores in your country, probably, where you can get this stuff, or even not in your country, you know, somewhere like Wayland that do international shipping, you can buy this stuff at a discounted rate sometimes, yeah, and have it delivered to your door.
There's a lot of bashing on Wayland. I know, yeah, we've talked about before.
Yeah, there is, and I don't want to get into it. Like Wayland, there's Element Stores, there's Darksphere,
which is around the corner to my new office.
Yeah,
cannot wait.
Which is really
every
cool.
day.
And I think they all have merits, and I haven't had any problems with any of them. So,
no, not really. Yeah,
and that's as far as my comments go on all of that. But
that's
it's just really good that we can have that access.
Yeah,
you know, it's so much more. You know, before you'd have to. I can't imagine. Like for me, there are 3 Games Workshop stores, let alone any third-party stores that sell Warhammer,
yep,
within 20 minutes of where I live.
Yeah.
In the car, just drive.
Yeah.
I can't imagine living in something like Australia or America where there's just none.
Yeah.
Like, they rely on their local stores or online because it takes 11 hours to get to one.
Absolutely.
Like, so, you know, that's amazing.
So, do you think the internet has changed the way we hobby?
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's changed everything about the way we hobby. You know, we get tactics online. We get to look at how other people are doing things. We get to see other people's life in the hobby.
Yeah.
We get to see their paint, their modeling, their conversions. You know, half of my conversions have all come from seeing other people do it.
Yeah.
And then I've converted it in my, you know, and it's always ended up looking a little bit different because I'm doing it, but it's come from there. You know, my Orc War Boss that's the size of like a demon prince.
Yeah.
That came from an idea that I saw on a mini wargaming forum.
Yeah.
You know, the tactics for my Tyranids came from partly the LVO winning list and partly from watching Striking Scorpion and him play his Tyranids.
Yeah.
You know, my ability of painting, watching those Games Workshop videos on how to use those paints in my own home while I'm painting has improved my painting.
I think for me, I think I've already expressed how much I use the online stuff. I think my challenge to people listening is that they go and go and find something online that they don't normally look at, like bat reps, like painting tutorials, like forums, like
whatever that is, look at
whatever the thing you do, and just try it out. Like this month, just go and try out. Like, all right, I don't like the rumor mill stuff, but I can go and learn more from the Better Lost Souls blog.
Fate 212.
212, yeah. It's Fate 212.
Yeah.
Or if I don't, like, all right, not for me, but if I was not really big on bat reps, then there are plenty out there. I think that's probably the best thing to end this segment on is purely to challenge people to go and do that.
I mean, you know, you can look at the internet and see it as this really annoying thing where people are often outspoken and say nonsense.
Yeah.
But the amount of good and resources that are out there and amazing inspiration that's out there beats it 10 times over.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing resource. And we all live on the internet. Let's face it. We all do it. So let's go out, let's enjoy it and be inspired by other people. That's the whole point of 40K. It's a community thing. That's why we started a podcast and that's why we do a podcast.
Absolutely.
And on that note, we shall take a quick break and finish with our goodbyes.
I think it's important to say in the darkness that is the internet, there is the light that is the Adeptus Terror podcast Facebook page. So go and join that. Bye.
Bye. So we're back at the end of a long show.
That was, considering we started like at 6, it's now 11. We're doing, this is longer than ever. It's only a free show.
It's good, man. It's good. I mean, it's taken, we've had to kind of bring it back onto the rails a bit. We've been a bit jumping around.
This is our chattiest show.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've been more chatty and less structured, which is cool. I like it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, let us know.
Yeah,
if you like it, then we'll carry on. If you want it a bit more structured, we'll make it more structured. This is for you. Really enjoy chatting about online and how it's impacted us.
Fantastic.
And just sharing our kind of two cents on that matter. Talking about the Lion, learnt a bit about a Primark that I don't particularly like.
I learnt a bit of Primark about I learned a little bit about a Primark that I didn't know about, that he was definitely a heretic.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. and yeah, it's always a blast hanging out with you doing the podcast.
Oh, shucks.
It is. It is. It's, yeah, it's good fun. That's why I'm still here, sitting in the chair 7 episodes in. And I look forward to loads of more episodes. And I think your comment about in the darkness of the internet, there is only the light, the Adeptus Terra podcast.
Facebook page.
And the podcast itself. So, yeah, share it with your friends. Enjoy it. Hope you do enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to bed now. Not together. And on that note, good night.
I think we should get the saying on a t-shirt.
What? We're going to bed now, but not together?
No, no. In the darkness that is the internet, there is the light, the Adeptus Terra podcast. We talk to our publicist.
Right.
Bye.
See you later, guys. 1 Your stand's not strong enough.
You're not strong enough.
No, your stand isn't strong enough.
Okay, we'll go. That's all right. That works for me.
Can you read that?
I can read that. I don't need to read it.
All right.
Fine. You're hosting.
Yeah, you still need to know what you've written down. I can't see your stuff.
I've not written anything down.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then.
It's called off the cuff, mate. I've bought stuff.
Brilliant. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're going.
Cool. This has got to be in. Right.
No, oh yeah, absolutely.
This is actually the beginning.
Oh right, okay, cool. Right, so serious.
Yeah, serious faces, and not that they can see our faces.